This is PFW in Progress.
Ezekiel 25, 17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brother. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Paul Perillo.
Hamburger, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
This is a tasty burger. I do love the taste of a good burger.
And Andy. And Andy?
Get it straight, Buster. I'm not here to say please. I'm here to tell you what to do. If I'm curtain, it was because time is a factor. I think fast, I talk fast, and I need you guys to act fast if you want to get out of this.
Andy Hart.
So pretty please, with sugar on top. Clean the car.
Some guy named Tom.
You hear me talking, hillbilly boy? I ain't do with you by damn sight. I'ma get medieval on your ass.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Oh, my piercing? 18 places on my body, every one of them done with a needle. 5 in each ear, 2 in my right nostril, 1 in my left eyebrow, 1 in my belly, 1 in my lip, and I wear a stud on my tongue.
PFW in Progress.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better. You guys look like... What do they look like, Jimmy?
Dorks. They look like a couple of dorks.
Welcome back to another edition of PFW in Progress. It is Thursday, April 10th. There is no Fred Kirsch, though, today. He is still serving his suspension for suspending Tom.
You're damn Skippy.
Uh-huh. But this is a momentous occasion today, fellas. Eric the Leg Scalavino sitting in the host chair. Paul Perillo, editor of PFW. Head staff writer Tom Casale in the studio. Our big man Gary Grodecki producing behind the glass for us. This is going to be one of the funniest, most outrageous topics we've ever covered on this show. Can't wait to get to it. We got down here about 10-15 minutes early. Of course, it wasn't to prep for the show, but we knew lunch was coming.
Andy
today
should have came in today,
but yeah, and Andy chimed in via email earlier today about this topic, which we can't wait to get to. And we know some of our fans have already started emailing in about it. The Patriots have made it to South Park.
That's big time, baby.
Big time, bigger than you can imagine. If you haven't seen last night's South Park episode, there are many ways you can find it on the internet. Particularly, I think, Comedy Central.
One of the 150 times Comedy Central plays it a day.
Right. It is a must-see. And correct me if I'm wrong, Gary, but we might have some. Do we have some clips maybe later on in the show? Not yet.
The reason that you think you can't get into college is because you haven't been taught how to cheat properly. How do you think white people always get ahead? Because we cheat all the time. I mean, because they cheat all the time. This is Bill Belichick, coach of the New England Patriots. He's won 3 Super Bowls. How? He cheated. He even got caught cheating, and nobody cared. Bill Belichick proved that in America it's okay to cheat, yeah, as long as you cheat your way to the top.
Hey, I don't want to be called a cheater.
No, no. If you cheat and fail, you're a cheater. If you cheat and succeed, you're savvy.
The music in the background, where it's all dramatic, and then all of a sudden when she asks a question, and then it's like the serious music, you know. Boom, 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 boom. You know, like you try. This is where I'm going to try to teach you the lesson,
right,
the
right.
moral of the story.
It is what it is.
Just absolutely priceless. It
took me a while, and I couldn't think of the name. Paul, you ended up getting it for me. The movie that they were trying to spoof on the show,
definitely
too.
Definitely Stand and Deliver.
Yeah,
no
with Edward James Olmos as the lead character, the teacher there, and Eric Cartmanis. If you haven't seen this episode, you guys out there, you have to find a way to watch it. Either if you have it DVR'd, watch it tonight, or go online
it.
And find it.
It's never going off my DVR.
Watch it online. That's probably the easiest way to go. You can find it very easily. It's hilarious.
It's that Pro Football Talk.
Oh, my God. The whole episode is on there.
Yeah. That's where I watched it.
So if you want to talk about that or any other regular football-related stuff, and we got a few other things.
I just want to talk about that.
webradio@patriots.com is our email address, as always, and you can call us as well. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Today's another momentous occasion, fellas. Do you know what happened 2 years ago today?
What's today?
April 10th.
No.
you got hired to be...
I started my first day here. This is my two-year anniversary.
How'd you know that?
With you guys.
I just guessed by the way he was smiling over there.
So the accolades can come rushing in anytime you want. You know, I changed your lives forever when you guys met me. I know that.
Okay.
So.
Good stuff.
Two years. Where are my presents?
Anyway.
You're hiding them. You're saving them for later.
That's what the hell is going on?
I have bad news for you, Eric.
What?
Apparently, when you start your fourth year, you take a pay cut for some reason.
So I don't have anything for you.
Oh.
That comes directly out of the PFW budget, to which Tom just alluded. There is none.
There is none.
So
it's also momentous because I've been told by the source that Laurie Baranski is going to make an appearance today on the show. So I know a lot of our fans are looking forward to that,
What's in that one?
I don't know.
Why are you teaming up on me?
Well, you'll see. You'll see in a little while.
Will we really?
That's what she told me.
I think that might just be the thing that finally gets us fired, if there's going to be some teaming up.
Well, you just have to wait and see. It's all good natured. Nothing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But anyway,
this South Park episode, though, I am curious to see. And we hadn't gotten a lot of emails before we came down. You said that we had a couple.
Yeah, we've had
at least one.
Yeah,
anyway,
at least one so far.
I'm curious to see the reaction because it was very, very funny. It was clever. It was well done, over the top. So no one could possibly say,
of course it is.
They're taking shots at. I mean, I'm curious just to see, you know, if everybody takes it in the humorous light that it was meant to be.
I would hope that they do.
And if you don't, you probably have a problem.
You're taking it a little
too
seriously.
Exactly.
You're taking sports.
I mean, we work here. We potentially. Are affected by this a hell of a lot more than you guys are.
Of course.
Are. Because,
of course.
If this went really bad and, you know, it damaged the franchise, I mean, that could have repercussions to our personal lives.
Right.
But sports, you can't take it. I mean, I know how much a lot of you love the Patriots, and that's fine. I mean, we all love teams, but you can't go to the point where a cartoon is, like, making you lose sleep at night. That's
right.
That's a little bit too far.
A cartoon, especially with potty mouth little kid, But yeah, you have to take it in the spirit that it's intended. These guys have no holds barred. Nobody is sacred to them.
No,
which is that's what makes the beauty of that show is that, it, like we were talking about this in the office earlier. If they had one particular group or certain individuals who were off limits to their humor and they made fun of everyone else the way they do, you can say, well, they're hypocrites. They don't go after everybody, but they go after everybody.
They had Cartman pretending he was Hitler. He was trying to exterminate the Jews.
Right. And you have to have a sense of humor about these things.
But one thing I will say, though, is that really shows how far this has come because the cartoon obviously isn't going to do something about Pac-Man Jones because not enough people are going to understand what they're talking about.
Right. It wasn't a national phenomenon.
This has come so far that they thought that they could do a whole episode based on it because everyone had heard about it and knows what's going on.
Yeah, who doesn't watch the Super Bowl? Who hasn't heard about the Patriots going on that, you know, the first team to go 16-0, one step away from 19-0?
According to South Park, we all know why that they lost this this previous Super Bowl.
It's great stuff, guys. I mean, I hope we're not overselling it because I thought it was
very funny, and I would hope that, and I think our fans will anyway. I mean, I think there might be some people who take offense to it, but.
Here's your barometer.
But I think our fans will like it.
Here's your barometer. When I came in this morning, I know our webmaster, Chris Ferreira, the famous Chris Ferreira.
Oh, Tom, you should have seen him.
You know he's the biggest homer aside from Fred Kirsch. I turned to him, and I know he's a huge South Park fan.
And nobody cared.
He's a huge South Park fan, so I know he watched the episode. I turned to him, and I say, Chris, did you watch South Park last night? He wheels around in his chair, starts laughing before you can even get the words out. And he said, well, you know, at first when I found out they were going to talk about Belichick, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to take this. And then he's like, after about a minute, he's like, he was laughing hysterically. So if he can think it's funny, you have to take it that way. You can't take it too seriously. But it's Thursday, and we had lunch promised to us, and lunch arrived right on time.
Chris in the Bronx.
Chris in the Bronx came through big time for us. Thank you, Chris. So
you are a legend, my friend. Thank you very much.
We're going to read our first email of the day from Chris in the Bronx. webradio@patriots.com is the address if you'd like to chime in. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Hey, guys, hope lunch arrived okay. Yes, it did, Chris. One question in many parts today. I listed a bunch of players here because I respect your opinions. Really, I do. And wanted to hear how you rated these guys, most of whom seem to fit in New England's system. For each player, please tell me where you would pick them on behalf of the Patriots versus where he will end up going in the draft. Make sense? start with three outside linebackers, Cliff Averill of Purdue, Quentin Groves of Auburn, and Daryl Robertson of Georgia Tech.
I would pick Groves in the second round. He won't be there. He'll go at the end of round one, beginning of round two. So if you wanted him, you'd have to maneuver, kind of finagle your way around. Averill, probably the beginning of the second round, too. That's the problem with guys like that. Like, say they stay at seven, it's going to be hard to draft a Kason, a Groves. Maybe they like those guys, but you're going to have to try to find a way to get in that area where they're going to be drafted. And who was the other one?
Daryl Robertson, Georgia Tech.
Probably a little later than Avery.
Yeah. I don't know, fourth or fifth round area probably. Mm. I mean, I
liked him a little more than that, but I agree with Tom.
I'm trying to think where he would be, where he's going to be drafted. Yeah. I'm trying to remember where I saw.
I've seen some second or third, and I've seen some in the fourth as well.
Like my draft sheet.
So he's probably one of those like early second day guys now with the third round being on Sunday. I kind of liked him. I liked Robertson a little bit. I didn't really love Averill. I thought he was a little small, but, it's hard. When you're dealing with the Patriots, and we talked about this in the draft podcast yesterday, Tom, it's hard because you're dealing with the big guys in the defensive line. Some of them don't translate to nose tackle because they might be a little bit too tall. And even the 300-plus-pound guys, if they're a certain height, they're more ends than the nose tackles. And then the guys that play end, you're dealing with, they're probably not big enough to play 3-4 end for the Patriots, but are they athletic enough and smart enough to play outside linebacker in the 3-4? So you're dealing with a lot of different variables when you're talking about the Patriots. I kind of liked Robertson as one of those middle-round guys, maybe a third-round guy. Didn't like Averill as much, and I agree with you, Groves is the best of that trio.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just looking for a pass rusher, like, I don't know what else Groves can do because I've never seen him do anything. But
right. When
you're talking about just getting after the quarterback,
yeah, he looked
when
like
he's healthy, he's as good as anybody in this draft. He's got 26 career sacks in college, more than Long, more than Golston. So you're in the SEC. So you're talking about a guy who can get after the passer. It's just like I said, the Patriots, they actually have a terrible pick this year, I think. I really do, especially if Golston's not on the board. Because a lot of the guys I think that would fit their system and would be good picks for them are going to go where they normally pick at the end of round one. Mm-hmm. And now if you pick at seven, you don't pick again if you can't make a trade until the end of round two. So you're kind of in that no man's land.
Yeah, Averill, according to our friends at NFL Draft Scout, projected to be a second rounder, like both of you guys.
Yeah, he's kind of like flying up the – he's one of those late risers that's mm-hmm. kind of flying up the boards.
Yep. Let me find sorry, I lost his email here. Other linebackers he has, Keith Rivers, USC, and Jonathan Goff of Vanderbilt. I depending on who's picked prior to number seven, if Rivers were there, I wouldn't have a problem,
no.
too much of a problem taking him at seven.
No.
No, we all like Rivers.
And Goff is probably
a two-down guy.
Is like, probably a fifth-rounder.
Yeah. Tom wrote about Jonathan Goff in the draft intro, which, by the way, we should put a plug in for that. The draft preview issue...
Yes.
Patriots Football Weekly is now available on newsstands.
And online for those of you who have a subscription, and if it hasn't arrived,
even,
you can go online.
Even though this show is called PFW in Progress, I don't think we do a tremendous amount of crowing about our newspaper. This particular issue...
We're not about self-promotion
on
this show.
Every year... No, we promote ourselves, right. not necessarily the paper. But every year, this is
by
far and away the best issue that we do, and I would defy you guys to find a more comprehensive draft, localized draft guide out there. Now, obviously, nationally, the Pro Football Weekly guide with Nolan Naraki, those kinds of guys, Mel Kiper, those guys that do the whole draft for a living. That's their business. I'm talking about for the Patriots' specific needs, this draft issue, I think, is a must. And Tom's draft intro, I thought, talked about Jonathan Goff as part of that. As what he is, probably a two-down guy, good solid run stuffer, maybe kind of a dinosaur in today's NFL, but mm-hmm. a good football player.
Mm-hmm.
And, like Tom, what did you say, fifth round?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe a middle of the second day kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. But what else could happen is he could be this year's Brandon Siler from Florida, who everybody thought would be a fourth, fifth rounder. He went in the seventh round. Now he's stuck with the Chargers as a special teams guy.
Mm-hmm.
But his lack of speed really hurt him. No one thought that he could be an every down guy. So with a guy like Goff, he probably has fourth round talent.
Yeah.
Maybe slips to the fifth round, but then if teams really have a concern with his speed, he could slip even further.
Yeah, I look at him more in that that area, fourth or fifth round. I know some people have him a little bit higher than that. Some people have him lower than that. So I like him. I like the player. He's a good kid. And we talked about this
a
couple
weeks
ago. Yeah.
Yep.
And I knew a little bit about his story because of he went to St. John's Prep.
Did you remember when he was playing here?
Oh, yeah. He was a great player in high school. He was actually a great running back at
St. John's
Prep
in Danvers,
which is near where I live now, up in the North Shore. And from all accounts, he's a hardworking kid, a good kid. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, you know, if he went to Vanderbilt, he wasn't there.
Right.
Vanderbilt's not a football factory. It's a good school.
It's a very tough school.
So he was not.
He was not
one of those bonus baby types that had everything handed to him in his life.
He came off as a very nice kid, too, at the combine. You know,
I'm not surprised by that.
Little shy. Little camera shy, I think. He might need to come out of his shell.
The problem he's going to have is that in today's NFL, you have to cover.
Yeah,
you have to be able to cover those short to intermediate drag routes that everyone's running. And, like, we don't know because we don't work these guys out. We don't see as much film as, obviously, as the scouts. That'll be the question with him. Is he going to be a liability on the field if he can't cover at all? Mm-hmm. So if he's not a liability, I think he'll end up being a good mid-round pick.
Well, you mentioned Goff was a running back in high school. Chris also wants to know about running backs. Cal's Justin Forsett and Georgia's Thomas Brown. And at fullback, Owen Schmidt of West Virginia.
Jesus Christ, do you listen to this show? What the hell's wrong with you? Forsett's a guy we really like, short, compact runner. Forsett's actually the reason I didn't think Marshawn Lynch was going to be a great pro, because when they were both there, I just didn't see much of a drop-off when Forsett came in. Now, obviously, he's a lot smaller than Lynch, so he's not going to be an every-down back in the NFL. But as far as a guy to take some draws, basically the Kevin Falk role, he's a lot stronger than Falk. But I think he's a guy that can do things like that. And, like, again, in today's NFL, you want a guy like that that can go out and catch passes. Schmidt's just a bruiser, you know, and he's going to be a blocking guy. It all depends on how often you want to have a blocking back in the backfield. If the Patriots don't want to have a blocking back that often, they have no use for Owen Schmidt because he's not going to do anything else. He's not going to run the ball like he did at West Virginia. And Brown
compared to Heath Evans, you think he has more or less talent?
The only comparison they have is that they're both white. They're not remotely the same kind of player, because Evans' weakness is blocking. That's the one thing he doesn't do great. He catch the ball. You know, he can do a lot of different things for you. To me, Schmidt, all he does is block. He's not going to catch the ball out of the backfield. He's not in the option, so they're not going to run that dive play that they did at West Virginia. Mm-hmm. So I think they're two totally different players, and I think that's where it's going to come down to if they draft him, because those two would probably be battling for a roster spot. Now, do they want to go more Maroney and a blocking back, or are they happy with the way that they have things now? So that would be the question, you know, with the Patriots. And then Brown, I think, would be a good later round pick as a guy who seems like those Georgia running backs. Sometimes they don't do great in college, then they come to the NFL and they're better than advertised.
That's a great point. You know, because I originally, when I heard Thomas Brown, I was like, I don't really love him. But you can't dismiss the history there of Georgia running backs.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. They come out of nowhere, it seems like.
I think you could pick him up in the fifth round and maybe get some value there. I mean, he kind of got phased out.
And that seems to
be
where they end up going usually.
Well, I know the NFL draft scout had Brown as a fifth round guy, and I think when Bill talked at the owners meetings about all the different positions and how deep they all were, I think there's going to be some good players at skill positions that you can pick up as late as the fourth, fifth, and even sixth round this year. You know, I think Bill talked about that a little bit, and I think there's some truth to it.
And Thomas Brown, though, he was pretty productive at Georgia. His problem is there's a phenom that came on the scene there in Moreno.
Moreno, yeah.
And once he got the ball, that was it for Thomas Brown.
Yep.
Right. Wide receiver, he wants to know about Darius Reynaud of West Virginia and Division I AA Appalachian State Dexter Jackson.
Yeah,
I like Jackson. I liked how he came across. I liked how he carried himself, and he ran a great 40. He ran one of the best 40s of all the wide receivers at the combine. I think his first one unofficially was like 4.29, and then the official one he ended up with was 4.39. But still, that's blazing speed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a slot sized guy, but that's not to say he can't play on the outside.
Right.
You know, which he did at Appalachian State, you know. But
And Reynaud, that's a guy, when watching college football, I loved, because he obviously didn't have a very accurate passer throwing him the ball. And Pat White, he made a lot of big plays. But here's the problem I have with West Virginia guys, and I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. I don't think they're doing a great job of filtering the best academic students there at West Virginia. There's a lot of guys there who probably shouldn't even be in college. Now, I don't know anything about Renard personally. I've never talked to him or anything like that. But that's the one thing about West Virginia is I don't think they're running a very tight ship there with that program. And we've seen it with Chris Henry, with Pac-Man Jones, two guys from West Virginia who had, you know, Jerry Porter is another one. So that's the thing about West Virginia. And Schmidt, obviously, is not in that category because everyone thinks he's phenomenal. But a guy like Renard, you'd have to go in and check that because they just scare me, those guys.
I'd say with either of those guys, I'd take a flyer on them maybe third, fourth round if you wanted them.
But saying that, I don't think is unfair because much like we just mentioned with Georgia running backs and how you can say, well, maybe they weren't, you know, these 1,500-yard backs, coming out of college, but late in the draft they seem to be productive out of Georgia. As a positive, I don't think it's any different to say you have to be kind of aware of the West Virginia factor in a negative light. It's the same thing. It's a scouting report that may not be fair for all the individual players involved. Maybe this kid has had no off-the-field problems to speak of, but there's enough from West Virginia that have, including this running back now, Noel Devine.
Yep.
Got arrested about a month and a half ago. He only played 1 year so far at West Virginia. He's still there. There's been a lot of discipline problems with that program, so you have to wonder what kind of players, what kind of people they're recruiting.
I wish I had gotten a chance to talk to Reynaud at the combine just to get a feel for what he was like. It was one of those days where there's so many people around. You have to pick and choose. So, but I like Jackson as a mid round, maybe as high as the third round if he's there. He strikes me as one of those guys playing at a smaller school, but I think has the ability to maybe do something.
That's a big smaller school that played, and they when they had the opportunities to play up
they
showed that they could play and beat Michigan. So
and he's used to winning championships,
which Appalachian
right? So that would fit in well here.
For been ducking the Huskies.
Tight end. Tight end, he wants to know about JerMichael Finley of Texas.
Love him.
Do you really?
I like him a lot. Yeah, I mean,
there were some other ones I like better.
I'm talking about fifth round. Love him. I'm not talking about.
Okay.
I want to mortgage the farm. I just think that he has a lot of athleticism, and I it's not the Patriots kind of tight end because I think they're looking for the blocker. Like we talked about in the podcast for tight ends a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the overall athleticism, I think he has some. I like him.
What'd you think about him, Tom?
Yeah, I like him too.
You were going to attack there. the way Eric started.
I agree. I don't think he's probably not a good fit for the Patriots. But as far as a player, I think you're going
to
see.
Third or fourth round guy, according to NFL draft scout.
Yeah, my guess is 3 years from now, you're going to go back, and I think you're going to get a lot of mid round tight ends that make an impact, maybe not be Tony Gonzalez.
Randy McMichael types.
Yeah, guys who are in the league, who are producing some. I think you're going to get a lot of those in this draft.
Guys that can catch 60 or 70 balls, maybe not be dynamic like Tony Gonzalez or Antonio Gates and put up those kind of Pro Bowl numbers, but solid careers as pass catchers.
Yeah.
Not really the best blockers. Finley's a tall guy, but he's not, doesn't have that much bulk.
Yeah, if you want to know who he is, he was Dave Thomas's replacement at Texas, and he's kind of the same kind of player.
Yeah.
That's who you'd be getting
if
you got this guy.
Yeah, I think he's...
Admittedly, he said he needs to work on his blocking,
which I think we all agree,
Thomas, that was
and
his
I even wrote too. It, because he wears the same number.
As Thomas did.
He wears 16, like Thomas did at Texas.
You know what I find funny, and I didn't go to the combine this year, I don't know if you heard the same thing, but the 2 years I was there, I heard a lot of tight ends say that. I have to work on my blocking. Now, here's a position in college. You think that these guys got to be blocking a lot.
Most of them said that. Tom.
A lot of even the big guys that you think this guy's probably more of a blocker, they all say, I got to work. I mean, the only guy I remember saying that, Daniel Coates, who's, when I was there 2 years ago, who's he on? I think he might be on the Eagles. He made the team, but he was BYU's blocking tight end. That's all he did. And he was the only tight end that said, blocking is my strength. Everyone else said, I kind of got to work on my blocking.
That's an interesting one.
The other tight end you want to know about, we talked about him on the last show, Matthew Mulligan from Maine, the kid that
one of our apparently is a is moving up to a third round draft pick thanks to PFW in progress.
We all think that he'd be a likely. He's one of those guys who's just the opposite. He's a blocker, and we think he might be a good fit as a free agent signing after the draft.
Yeah,
making it to rookie camp, maybe even mini camp, or you know, get a shot in training camp early. That's where we see him going.
I'll tell you, that kid doesn't lack for confidence. If you read some of the quotes from him.
Oh really?
Oh no. He thinks he could play.
He's been playing at Maine.
Yeah. He has. He certainly. He's not one of the small school guys who's looking for forward to the opportunity to.
He wants to make a team. He's going to make a team.
He thinks he can do it.
For quarterbacks, he wants to know. And the first one he lists is the guy that we all love, quarterback Kevin O'Connell from San Diego State. Dennis Dixon, Oregon.
I like him.
Dennis Dixon is a tremendous player. I just don't know about the health there.
Yeah.
And Matt Flynn of LSU was the other one.
I don't like Matt
Flynn. I would take Dixon if he was around in the sixth or seventh round as a flyer, just because I said he can. He can kind of be like a third quarterback slash guy for you, you know, that you can bring in and maybe make a couple packages for you if he sticks with your team. I don't think quarterback-wise he'll ever be anything more than a number three, but maybe you can find some things for him to do.
Like the Jets did
with Brad Smith.
Right.
But that would all be up to a team if they wanted to go that kind of route. But as far as quarterback play, you're looking at a number three at best for his career.
Mm-hmm. I like O'Connell. Mid rounds at the highest,
I like
probably
O'Connell
just because of his potential.
As a potential backup, and then you know, if he develops, then maybe he can be something more than that. I do like. I mean, admittedly, I didn't watch San Diego State play. I'm not going to pretend that I'm an expert on the Aztecs, but I watched them on film, and I just think he has some of the things that you can't teach, and that some of the other guys that I did watch lack. And frankly, I thought he did some things that some of the higher rated quarterbacks don't do as often.
Right.
So. I liked Kevin O'Connell.
I got to be honest. If you're looking for a quarterback, this is a bad year to be looking, I think. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if any of these quarterbacks never amounted to anything.
It's not one of those positions that Bill was talking about. No, no question.
And finally, cornerback, he wants to know about Antoine Kayson from Arizona.
Does he listen to the show? He can't be listening to the show.
And Terrell Thomas of USC.
Tom basically starts every show with an I Heart Kayson T-shirt on. I mean... I think his feelings on the subject are well documented.
Yeah. And I just, again, when you compare him to some of the other guys, in my opinion, there's no comparison. You compare him to that guy from Auburn, and they're not even in the same world, not even in the same hemisphere. So whoever's watching those tapes and think the King from Auburn is better than Kayson, you're joking. You're kidding yourself.
Justin King?
Yeah.
From Penn State.
Who's the guy from Auburn?
Patrick Lee.
Patrick Lee, the other guy who's flying up the boards now. Those guys aren't even in the same class as him. And Thomas is a good – you know my theory. If they're
USC
from USC,
guys,
draft them.
Yep. Well, Chris ends things off by saying, thanks a lot, guys. Have a great weekend. My wife and I might be up in Massachusetts at the end of April and would love to stop by. I'll be in touch. Well, that's a job for Frederick S. Kirsch. But thanks for lunch
again,
Chris.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thanks. Chris in the Bronx, faithful listener.
Some good
devoted.
Draft talk to start off the show there.
Oh, yeah.
Covered a lot of different positions.
Right. Is anyone talking?
We don't want to get off topic, though. We don't want to get off topic.
Right. I figure we'll ruin that now.
Let's talk about some South Park.
Oh my goodness!
Why are you here?
When was the last time Kyle was on this show? And didn't
well, you know
say
what? Actually, this is perfect that he comes in because Kyle is from South Park, Colorado. Are you not, Kyle?
Not quite.
You might want to turn your mic on.
Put your mic on.
I know it's been a while since you've been on the radio, but I've never actually talked
on this show.
It's Kyle Passati, who used to write for Patriots Football Weekly.
Come on, Kyle. I don't want you hanging around with these ignorant idiots.
I read all the newsletters.
Put your headphones on, because I'm pretty sure that you didn't hear that drop in that Gary just played.
No, I don't have it.
Turn it on. There's an on button.
No, he doesn't have a battery. No battery.
Another Fred S. Kirsch hire right
no
here.
No battery in your headphone. It's not your fault. You have no batteries.
Thanks. Thanks, Paul.
Let's be honest. When I'm the best hire the last couple of years, that's not saying much for Fred.
I'm just making those evaluations.
Wait, I just told you today was my 2-year anniversary. Come on, that was a pretty good
pick.
Were you
hired by Fred? No.
Yes.
But when you first came here.
Yes.
Fred hired him.
Oh, I thought.
No, I wasn't working with the craft sports thing.
Okay.
Is that what you mean? No.
Yeah.
No, that was all Fred Kirsch. So, Kyle, what do you got for us?
What do you have to say over there,
Kyle? What do you got on the South Park controversy?
South Park, I don't know. You guys know I'm a huge South Park fan.
I know you're from South Park.
Are you, like, going to get all analytical and...
There really is a place called South Park, Colorado, correct?
There really is. I caught my first fish fly fishing there. South Park. It's in Fairplay, Colorado, actually. It's basically a cul-de-sac, but it's got all the
facade.
From Denver, where are we looking? How far from Denver?
It's probably maybe an hour west of Denver, South Park, Colorado.
You hear that now. That's good, Kyle. See, what happens when you put the
a little less Claypool intro.
So what do you got to tell us? What did you think about the episode? Well, funny? Did you like it?
I mean, when he pulled the sign out and said, Bill Belichick, I was all over it. Then I couldn't stop watching. I stayed up and watched the second viewing at midnight, too.
So did I.
The penis running around on the mouse was a little weird, but everything from
but that's
Eric
that's what you get with that show. I was telling my wife, it's just, sometimes they just do things where I'm like, I have no idea what this means. You know what I mean? Like their joke, their humor, it's either hit with you or it misses with you. Like some of the things I think are just awful, you think are hysterical.
Absolutely.
He's not the best color man in the business.
Absolutely.
One of those moments where I was caught reading an email, and I just look over at Kyle, and he's looking at me like, what just happened?
God damn it, you guys.
Kyle also does a great impression of Cartman. Did you know that?
My impression's okay.
Give us a Cartman. Give us a little Cartman.
Very funny, you guys. Ha-ha, you guys. This is,
not work.
That's pretty good.
You do it.
See, the problem
in
is
the office, you do it very well.
He has a good impersonation. He just has nothing to say.
That is pretty good.
That's the problem.
I don't have a...
You sound like Cartman. You just won't say things that Cartman would say. Talk. Speak.
Let's see.
Kyle? Kyle? You guys didn't send me any cheesy perfs here.
That is good.
But I he sounds like Cartman. Wings.
We finally found something you're good at.
Yeah.
You don't want any of those wings?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get on those wings.
When's Lori coming down? She said she was going to be on the show.
She's coming. I don't know. I think she's
going to tell her the food's going fast. I know she wanted to come down.
Why don't you read some emails here? This segment isn't really going
awful.
All right, hang on a second. I had a good one before. There was a
what does he do? How does he lose the emails?
I have a lot of windows opened up here.
Because he's got to read every one of them and filter art for some reason.
For hits.
Simmer down.
I hate to tell you this, Eric, but it's not like every email we have is filled with the F word. And
well, you know, Fred gets tripped up a lot. He makes it look
that's Fred.
Pretty difficult. I know.
What are you looking for now?
Alejandro, our friend Alejandro from Bogota.
That's what you do. You eat them with your hand.
By the way, webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
508-543-7482. This show only been on for a half hour.
Yes, why?
They know what the web email address is. No, they just haven't had them read. They're sending them in.
All right, relax.
You're just not reading
them. I'm just wondering how we're going to get through another hour.
We're going to be fine. Don't worry about it.
You know how to take the reservation. You just don't know how to keep the reservation.
What in the hell is going on?
We were talking the other day about PFW merchandise. Callie Girl called up with a great idea. She wanted bobblehead dolls.
I still have not seen a picture of her in a thong. Until I do, you're not getting the PFW thong.
All right, then. So we've been asking people to send us ideas for PFW merchandise that they'd like to buy. Alejandro in Bogota.
Who I don't want to see in a thong.
Right. Says, nice job on Tuesday covering the important topics of preseason schedules and the passing of Charlton Heston, which we did talk about. As for the PFW merchandise, you should sell all the bobbleheads together and call it the nickel package because you're getting 5 dBs.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. Just one problem. How will people tell Andy's bobblehead?
It'll be the one laying down.
From an on-scale figurine. And now my... Damn, headphones just went out. On to the questions. Can you elaborate on the experience of breaking down film with Belichick? I remember Paul saying his head was twisting. Do you get the chance to see material from his Giants years? I'd like to know his opinions on the linebacking core of Carson, Taylor, and Banks. And why does Tom dislike the Giants so much? I thought the Cowboys' hatred was more towards the Eagles and Redskins. Keep it up. That's Alejandro in Bogota. I need to change my battery.
Everyone I know is a Giant fan, so... When your father's a Giant fan, when your uncle was a Giants fan, when all your friends are, when you're watching the games, you're watching them with Giants fans. And, you know, when I was in high school growing up, the Cowboys were garbage. So the Giants beat them probably 8 or 9 times in a row. You just, you know, grow to hate the team. I hate the Yankees. I hate Syracuse. I'm one of those guys. I'm just miserable.
Tom, being a man of the people, hates what everybody else likes.
I'm just a miserable human being. So I can't stand anybody from New York. The thing with we got to watch those films a couple of times with Belichick that was pretty good. I mean, I got the impression just from what he was showing us that he thinks Lawrence Taylor was the best player that he's ever coached by a mile.
Yeah.
Just from what he was telling us, and that I think he didn't come out and say this, but I think he takes exception when people say that Taylor was just a pass rusher because he made such a to show us that running play, Paul, where he knew the guy was going to run block and he went to the middle. And so he was showing us stuff like that. He showed us some things with Montana where they had the perfect defense in, and Montana still threw a touchdown pass. So it was,
that was my personal favorite part, when he showed the differences between Montana and Steve Young.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as people that listen to this show know, I think Steve Young is overrated. And I got the distinct impression that Bill does,
thought
too,
so too,
because he showed how Steve Young, I think the way he put it was, Steve Young, you know, good player, you know, but he was no Joe Montana. And he showed the same play with the same defense, and the throw was just so perfect with Montana in there that it was still complete, ended up getting the first down. And then with Young, it's off by a hair, you know, one way or the other, and the guy makes the play, knocks the ball away. And that's what he said was the difference between Young and Montana.
And one of the more interesting things I thought is two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, Montana and Elway, he showed us different pass routes. In Denver, they were running 30-yard outs, you know, just going down
with
the field.
Seven, you know, big, huge seven-step drops.
Yeah.
And Montana, and everything was so quick.
Elway
on the West
was
Coast.
Just gunning these, you know, 25-yard outs, like on the money. And then Montana was using more of his head, so he kind of got to see the two great quarterbacks using different ways of how the reasons that they were great. And I thought it was very good. I wish he would do that more, but he didn't like us.
And, you know, he you ask any of the players now, especially the linebacking core, and they'll, you know, reporters ask them all the time, does Belichick ever go back and make you watch video of the Giants from when he was back in there? Every once in a while,
they do it all the time.
They do it all the time.
And, but, yeah, watching film with Bill, and he does it on a very elementary level when he does it with us. And he hasn't done it, like Tom said, for a couple of years, but he has done it on a couple of occasions with the media. And he says it, you know, flat out, look, this is 101, you know. Mm-hmm. And then he starts talking about a couple of other elements, and that would be a little bit more advanced. But he doesn't get advanced, really. He's just kind of giving you the basics.
No, and he can't.
Yeah,
because
we're not going to be able to keep up with it.
I mean, we all know football because we watch it. You know, we it's our job. But we're not in his kind
of
class.
Not.
You know what?
God, no.
He speaks languages that we wouldn't even know.
Very few people are. Gary, do we have a pin in our board on our map for Atherstone, UK? Do you know off the top of your head?
No, we do not have a pin on our map for Atherstone, UK.
Wow, I think he's mocking me.
You're awful worried about the pins and the emails.
We've got a new one.
He is. I wouldn't think about it. He is.
Robert from Atherstone wants to know, what's the South Park episode called, the aforementioned South Park episode we were referring to?
We don't know, because here in Massachusetts.
It's called Eek, It's a Penis.
Oh, okay.
And you can't find it on YouTube, because Viacom's pulling all that stuff.
I knew it was a setup, and I let him have it, okay?
You can get it on the Comedy Central website.
Yes, you can. You can go to ComedyCentral.com, and there's a way to watch the entire episode there. There's also
if you go to Pro Football Talk. The last probably about 10:30 or so, it was near the top of the links. They had the whole episode.
All right, everyone review the section on sportscasters forgiving the Patriots for cheating and saying it was no big deal. I'll be right back.
You guys, if you haven't seen it, you really have to do it. I mean, it's comic
but
genius.
I was telling these guys, and I don't know if it's a coincidence or what's going on, but when I went to check out what the show was about at 9 o'clock, it was just the random four potty mouth kids. Like, they didn't say what the episode.
Yeah.
And I said, now Belichick can't be controlling Comcast, can he? It's got to be a coincidence, right? It's got to be.
I hope so. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Because if you could
the show just takes just when you think, like after 5-10 minutes, and you're thinking this is absurd, this is the most absurd thing I've seen, it can't get any more absurd.
Well,
that's more absurd.
That's the thing.
Then I thought I'd venture into reality.
That's the thing. Like, I didn't know what the episode was about because they didn't have the preview. So I'm sitting there, you know, and then when he put that picture up of Belichick, I mean, just the shock.
It was a great parallel they drew between that movie to Stand and Deliver and this whole situation.
I misinterpreted the rules.
How do I reach these keys?
What the hell is Stand and Deliver about?
Edward James Olmos is a teacher, and he
is it a new
one
movie?
No,
it's been around.
Movie.
It's old.
It's got to be at least 20 years old.
I've seen it.
It was like a like an inner city, like South
it's
Central
like
LA kind
paradise
of
paradise kind of a movie.
And it was
same thing.
Hispanic area of LA, and he goes in and he teaches these kids who don't really want to learn.
They don't want to learn anything.
He ends up teaching them calculus.
Yeah,
and they all take the AP calculus test, and
they all
pass.
Do well. Oh. Which is why Cartman comes in and says, I'm here to teach you calculus.
and of course, the education board assumes that they all cheated, so he makes them take it again, and they all, you know, it was one of those.
So you're telling me if I saw 88? That.
88, Gary says.
It would be even funnier, Tom.
I was going to say, you're telling me this could be even funnier?
It's got to be 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, when Eric started to shave his head, I thought he was going to go gangster, you know, go in there.
I didn't know
gangster.
What he was doing.
And then
when he was shaving his head, exactly I had no idea. And then when he came in with the glasses, he had the shirt, the plaid shirt, and then he had the little
chest
face
hair, little Fred Kirsch
like,
hair
poking
out.
Like,
little Fred
Kirsch
chest hair.
Now I know what he's doing.
Same. Everyone review the section on sportscasters forgiving the Patriots for cheating and saying it was no big deal. I'll be right back.
Right after that, he goes
and damn Skippy.
He goes and talks a girl into getting an abortion because that's the ultimate form of cheating, quote unquote, to him.
Yeah, cheating nature.
Cheating
he calls
nature.
It. That, cheating nature.
That's how white girls get to go to college because they just get a bunch of abortions.
And again,
right, you guys.
You got to take this at face value. Don't take it too seriously.
Right.
Oh,
I mean, well, I think that should be a footnote in every South Park episode.
Not just for
ever.
That stuff, but as a Patriots fan and them attacking Belichick and all that stuff.
Every Patriots fan needs to understand that South Park doesn't pull any punches. I mean, they tried to show images of Muhammad, and Viacom and Comedy Central stopped that, you know. So, I mean, no Patriots fans should really be too offended by this. I guess it's
so ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, Bill, and it's, you know, it's a good example.
I would love to hear his comments on it.
Fred's?
No,
oh, Bill's?
Bills. Like if Bill like actually sat down and watched it, like how,
I'd like to talk to his kids.
You know,
I just want to find out if he watched it.
If he thought it was funny.
He's watched it.
I'm saying if he watched it and sat down, like, does he laugh? Does he get pissed?
He's probably watching it in the film room right now.
Unexcused.
I can't.
Well, the other thing too is you know some of the players watch.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
I saw him, I saw some in the hall. I just wanted to ask. None of them know.
Because you don't grow some stones, Kyle.
You know Matt Castle's watching South Park.
Of course.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind that
half the team,
more than half of the team, is avid. South
and now,
even the
ones that don't are going to watch this episode, so the whole team's going
to
know about it.
This would
have
been a great day to have Castle in the Welcome Studio.
This is going to get so bad he might have to release Vrabel. I mean, this is Vrabel's dream.
Oh God,
yeah, this is going to turn into something probably. Right.
Oh God. So what else you got for us, Kyle? Anything
Thank
else?
You, Mike.
Any words of wisdom?
Why do you keep asking him questions?
Because he never talks.
Well, read an email.
But it's well established that he doesn't talk, so why are you asking him questions?
I'm trying to get him to go. All right.
No, we just brought him in as a South Park expert.
Right, yeah.
That's fine.
He gave his little impersonation
to
Cartman.
I'm here to chime in.
Okay. Okay.
In this past Super Bowl, they went without cheating, and you know what happened? They lost.
I know fans have been hearing a lot about Tom and his miserable review that he got a few weeks ago from Fred.
Yes.
So Frank in Winnipeg decided that he would take it upon himself to conduct reviews of all of us on PFW in Progress.
Well, if this is any worse than the one I got from Fred, I'm going to kill myself.
He did a review for me. He's the only PFW listener that knows that I still work here.
Well, he's doing them day by day. So today he's starting with Fred Kirsch. Yeah. He's giving our fearless leader his review.
I'm guessing these can't go very well.
No. He says, Frank says, I'm nearly completed my first year of listening to PFW in Progress. Wow. Lots of great stuff. However, it's time to pass out grades for each guy in the crew. In honor of the upcoming NFL draft, let's give Fred Kirsch his annual performance review, but this time we'll use draft speak. So he has positives. Has everything you want for in a leader. Pause for sound effect, he writes. But Gary's not paying attention. Two, leads by example, but will kick butt when the team loses focus. All right. Three, appears to have no off-the-field issues. Well, he's completely wrong about that. Four, has a quick release finger motion when facing deadline pressure. Does he?
He doesn't have a quick anything.
I was going to say, what the hell is he quick
The
at?
Only time he's quick
he's a bowling
is
ball.
Find out food's down here.
Right, that's the only time, exactly. And five, on the list of positives, has a really live body but might have weight problems down the road.
Live?
Live? What? Negatives. He only lists three negatives, though, for Fred. Lacks concentration. No kidding.
Yeah, sure.
On bad days, Fred Kirsch is not sure of the opponent, the roster, the scheme, or the venue. Can be fooled by gadget plays and gadgets in general. Not a real quick learner. Age could be a factor. May have taken one too many hits for the team. That's all on negative number one. Number two. lacks any top-end verbal comebacks, and consequently Kirsch can be verbally dominated at the point of attack.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, as I look over at Paul. And three, needs to do more video work because he's very slow to adjust to changing trends. In conclusion, according to Frank in Winnipeg, for many years, Kirsch has been a stalwart contributor of PFW in Progress, but Fred lacks that big playability of the likes of, oh, God, Wendy, Sal Palantonio, and Chris Berman. You can't tell me
he's
you're a fan of
them.
Sal Palantonio, Frank. You just ruined the whole email.
If you like Chris Berman, then you must love Fred, the same guy.
Right. Homer time.
Fred doesn't have the explosive, angry rants that Chris
at least
Berman
in Fred's not in Fred's defense, at least he works for the team.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I would think that's a tremendous shot at Fred saying how bad Sal and Chris are.
I hope so. Tomorrow, Frank says, we'll put Paul Perillo under the microscope. So we get to look forward to that review.
Dun, dun.
I'll be shocked, Kyle, if he gets a review for you.
Now this guy's not gonna take money away from me in my review like Fred did, is he?
Didn't say anything about that. So Todd in Nova Scotia chiming in on the South Park episode. Watch the South Park episode, but I'm waiting for Fred to return from San Francisco to give me the official Patriot Nation reaction.
Right, that's a very good point.
How do I reach these geeks?
That's a very, very good point that Todd brings up. You have to find out what Fred's stance so you can get the official stance of the New England Patriots
first before you weigh in on
whether or not you thought it
like
was funny.
Like I said earlier, we had a good barometer with webmaster Chris Ferreira, who's just a half notch below
but
Fred
by
in
no
homerism.
Means is that official.
And he loved it. But that, you're right, that's not official. Todd writes, P.S. Eric, congrats on your first year anniversary. It's actually the second year, but thanks. You suck a little less now than you did 6 months ago. No pressure, but you need to have a good draft. Well, all right. Thanks, Todd.
He's so pompous he has to correct the guy in his email.
Well, I did say it was 2 years ago. You know, you're paying attention. Here they come. TG in Joyzey. One question.
TG.
Do you, O men of football, that's Tom, Andy, and Paul, not Fred or the presumptuously pompous posthumous place kicker, think the Jets will try to trade down?
I just saw on the scroll here that Miami has begun negotiations with Long and Golston.
Yeah.
Really?
From what Peter King wrote on Monday, and I like to take Peter King's things about Parcells to be somewhat serious because I know he's in his pocket.
Sure. How dumb is Peter King?
Much like he's in the Patriots' pocket.
Right.
So he had mentioned that they'll probably negotiate with all of the, say, top four, top five guys, and whichever one that agrees to the contract that they agree, because there's really no difference, let's face it. Whoever one agrees to the contract parameters that they want, they'll end up taking. But I hope it's not Golston.
I hope it's not Golston either.
I want to at least, at the very least, I want to come here on, what is it, the 26th?
Yeah.
I want to come here on the 26th with the thought in my head that at least it could happen.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, and if he's already signed by Miami and that's a foregone conclusion, that takes away all the fun.
Right. Now, that brings up an interesting question. Let's say he does sign with Miami, Golston, that is. Does now the potential exist for Long, Chris Long, to fall maybe to 7? And if that's the case, what are the Pats
do? I really think that all of these guys, and you know, any one of these guys individually could be available. Because I don't think there's a consensus. I just don't think there is.
But what do you think about him being there and the Pats saying, yeah, he's a guy?
I don't like him.
I don't like him that much.
I agree with you.
I mean, I know the fans will like him because he's white and he played at Virginia, and I mean, that's what they're attracted to. And
he's Howie Long's kid.
Yeah, exactly. But when you look at his college production, last 3 years, okay, 2 sacks, 4 sacks, 14 sacks. Now, I know the 14's good as a senior as last year,
sure,
but that's not dominance. And the games I watched him play
overall as a body of work,
the games I watched him play, I didn't see dominance. You know what I mean? Like, you saw Golston. Well, I think I agree with Todd McShay, who thinks Golston's a little overrated and said he disappears at times. I do agree with that. But the one thing you see is when he took on Jake Long, when he played in some of those big games, he dominated. I didn't get that sense from Long. So I think when you're talking at pure ability, I think Golston has a lot more of it than Long, who I think is somewhat of an overachiever. And in the NFL, it's those guys, you know, you're picking in the top 10 there, getting an overachiever. How far? What's the ceiling?
Right.
What's the ceiling?
The last thing that Tom said is the thing that I'm really concerned about with Chris Long. I think he's going to be a good, solid player. I think he's going to work hard. I don't think he'll do anything that'll embarrass you, but I wonder how much better he's going to get than he is right now. Because, yeah. I mean, I don't think that is anything. You know, I think that he was, I mean, you said the dominance. I mean, 14 sacks, he was dominant as a senior for sure, and he got better. I just don't, you know, and that's when you read all these draft synopsis, and I don't know if these which of these guys knows what he's talking about compared to the others. I don't know. Mel Kiper, Mike Mayock, Nolan Neurath. I don't know which one is the best, which one's the worst, and which one really is doesn't even belong there. But they all say that. That's all included. May have maxed out in college. May have gotten everything there is to get out of his ability. I'm kind of concerned about taking a guy that's a concern about.
Right.
He's 21, 22 years old, and he's peaked.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the top five, we're talking about. Now, you want to tell me I'm going to get him at the bottom of the first round or something like that? Then sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll take a guy that I know is going to be a hardworking guy. He's going to be a good, solid pick. But I'm looking for more than that in the first round. I think Golston could be more than that. Now, Tom's right. We talked about the national championship game last year. We didn't even see him.
No.
Yeah. He didn't make a play.
No.
So none of us is forgetting that, even though we're all in love with Golston.
Right.
There needs to be some consistency things that need to get worked out. And how much has he risen since the season ended in this pre-draft season?
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Yeah, that's what McShay's argument is.
So that's a worrisome thing, too. That's why I say there is no consensus.
Right.
I could see Golston going one. I could see him being available at seven.
Yeah. That's what I think makes this draft so interesting compared to other drafts that we've had recently.
The reason I would rather have Golston is because, well, they both have questions. Andy's brought up plenty of times that, from the things he's heard, Long isn't a tremendous pass rusher. That's the one thing we know from Golston. Mm. He can get after the quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
So he has that pass rushing skill already.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you can take those other negatives and kind of harness every, like get a coach like Belichick, he's got not only the pass rushing ability, he's a physical freak. So if you can harness all that, you're going to have, you know, a DeMarcus Ware type of pro bowler every year. With Long, he's not a great pass rusher. He might have peaked already. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I kind of agree with Paul. You'll probably get a dependable, steady player. And in the ultimate racism, I heard someone on ESPN say he's a mix between Patrick Kearney and Wistrom from Grant Wistrom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you found the
What's
two
the commonality?
White,
What's the commonality in there?
Pass rushing defensive ends and
right.
says he's a mix between them both.
Yeah.
And I'm also not positive, like it seems everybody else is, that he could make the switch to linebacker. I'm not sure I see that kind of athleticism. You know, maybe I'm wrong on that. He has the size. I mean, 6'4", 270, 275, something. I mean, he has good size for that. He's a good athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think that he's a bad athlete at all. I think he moves well.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
we're not saying he's horrible.
But when I saw him,
you wouldn't draft him.
When I watched him on tape, the best plays that I saw him make were when he came on inside moves. And
so
I don't think
might
you
might not be rangy.
So I'm not sure you get. Yeah, that's what I'm talking. I'm not sure you get a lot of opportunities at Mike Vrabel or Roosevelt Colvin to be making inside moves.
Right.
You know, to be getting involved in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe look, I can't state any more plainly. I'm not a football scout. Just telling you what.
Sure.
Some of
in
the things
defense,
that jumped
too,
off the film for
I feel
me.
Like sometimes when guys say a guy might have peaked, and I don't know that much about Chris Long, so maybe Tom or Paul could help me here. But when they say a guy may have peaked, you know, already in college, and he has such more impressive numbers when he's a senior, I feel like that's just a way of kind of explaining away the fact that he wasn't that productive as an underclassman. Now he had 14 sacks last year, but uh-oh, maybe he peaked. Or, I mean, who can predict the future? Or maybe he's going to continue to grow as a player.
I know what you're saying. I liked you better when you didn't talk on the show. I understand what the point you're making. The way I look at it is not necessarily what he did earlier in his career that concerns me, because I want to see a guy improve, and the fact that he went from, what, four, yeah, say,
two,
four,
two,
to, 14,
four to
14.
14. 14.
Yeah, yeah, the fact that he went from 4 to 14 is fine with me. That means he got better, and he was more productive as he got more experience. But my concern about him may have maxed out is some guys you read about in the draft, and the kid from North Carolina, Ballmer, I think, is one of them that had people wondered how seriously he took football, and you know, that maybe he had a push, and you almost want to have a guy like that and hope that he got it all together,
right,
and he's getting better than a guy that
kind of like
just don't see an area that
kind of like
where can Chris Long improve?
Kind of like Kareem Brown last year. The talk of him was like, well, you know, he didn't really live up to his potential at Miami, but boy, when he gets to the NFL,
yeah, some
and
of those guys
has a fire
out,
under him, he's going to turn it around.
Some of those guys pan out, and some of them don't. You know, who's one who had a very similar? Ty Warren had a very similar description coming
Warren
out of college.
Sapp is another one.
Didn't work hard. Not the hardest worker. There couldn't be a more polar opposite description of a player than that for Ty Law. He's one of the hardest workers in that locker room.
Yeah.
And Belichick will tell you that any time.
Well, another guy who's kind of got that, he doesn't play hard all the time, is, I just drew a blank, the guy from Auburn that I
Pat
like.
Pat Sims? Oh, Quentin Groves.
Groves.
Yeah.
And here's a guy who they're saying, well, he doesn't play. He had 26 sacks in his college career. He had 3 last year because of 3 dislocated toes.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to figure.
Got to come
healthy,
a little slack.
He'd have over 30 sacks.
Right.
And they're telling me that he's still not playing hard all the time. Well, that's a guy I like.
I'd rather take a shot at a guy like that. And I'm not advocating I want guys that don't play hard and stuff like that. But I'm wondering when you look at and you know, look, Bill's guys are going to be looking at Chris Long and they'll be able to answer this question. But when I look at him, I say, what can he improve at? What is he not doing well enough that he could get better at?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure there's something there that's tangible that you could say. He's already knows the 3-4. He already has good technique. I think he kind of is what he is,
mm-hmm.
which is a very good player.
Not necessarily worthy of a top 10 pick in the,
right.
in the
and
draft.
And I think if his father wasn't named Howie Long, I don't think we'd be looking at him.
Yeah,
and let me put it this way. This is as easily as you can put it. If Ware and Merriman were available in this draft like they were a couple years ago, wouldn't even be a top 10 pick,
right.
wouldn't even be close.
See, I can't believe we had a screaming match yet 2 weeks ago. He just summed up my whole thought on Chris Long in one sentence.
Well, you guys have kissed
the We got to break bread later.
It's very pretty. TJ signs off with this parting shot. Hey, Eric, when you refer to yourself as the leg, which leg are you referring to, the third one? Just trying to fill in for Andy, he writes in parentheses. And we know he liked the South Park episode because he signs off with this. Thanks, guys. How can I reach these kids? We'll be right back.
Just before the last Super Bowl, Bill Belichick gathered his football players and said, let's win this one for real. Just this one time. Let's not cheat. You know what happened? They lost.
4-0 New England! What an opening night for the Reds in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution.
You know that old saying, one in a million? It means something is incredibly special. Well, if you're shopping for a car, you probably want that one in a million ride. And the best chance you'll have of finding it is by going to autotrader.com with one minor adjustment. You see, autotrader.com has over 3 million cars, more than any other site on earth. So you'll be getting a 1 in 3 million car, the exact make, model, and year you want. So it'll be just that much more special. autotrader.com, the ultimate automotive marketplace.
A French fry, a barrette, a quarter, bottle cap, nickel dime penny, dog hair, paper clip, dog hair, 3 pennies, a quarter. So far, Jennifer sucked up 93 cents from under the floor mats and seats, and she's only on the driver's side. If she had enrolled in Keep the Change from Bank of America, every purchase she made with her Bank of America Visa check card would be rounded up to the next dollar, and the difference transferred from her checking to her savings. That earring she just lost forever, she bought it for $20.12. That would have put 88 cents into her savings, instead of having it sucked away. The opportunity to save with every purchase, every day. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity. Open a checking account and enroll and keep the change today.
Member FDIC, patent pending.
Hi, Rebs fans. Tropical Tom here from TNTVacations.com. As the official travel provider of the New England Revolution, we're offering all Rebs fans special discounts on trips to Mexico, the Caribbean, Bermuda, and even Costa Rica. With TNT, you get the lowest prices, plus the kind of personalized service you just don't get from those out-of-state discount websites. So join the travel revolution and visit TNTVacations.com/Rebs.
New England! What an opening night for the Rez in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution.
Do I reach these needs?
That's what we've been asking ourselves all day. It's PFW in Progress, Thursday, April 10th. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482, the phone number. We start off the show talking about one of the funniest TV programs we've all ever seen, and it involved the Patriots last night. On South Park, the star of the show was Bill Belichick. And his whole and the whole Spygate thing. It was very, very well done. You have to take it in the spirit that it was intended, and it just have fun with it. It takes some shots at the team. And
Eric, you're not going to get fired for saying it was funny.
I'm telling the fans, because I know how our fans react sometimes. Like, oh, the world's against us, and
that's why they don't like you, because they don't like being told how to act and how to think. That's pompous.
It's a good point. You can't argue with it.
All right, fine.
I said off the top,
That's a good point, Eric.
I said I can't imagine anybody getting upset about it, but you have to tell them how they're supposed to take it.
I'm not telling them how. I'm just
a little bit.
All right, maybe I am. Sorry. I apologize. I apologize to our listeners for being pompous.
And you told them seven times.
I apologize.
I'm still waiting for that preseason slate from Tuesday.
We went over that already. Thanks, Guy.
Well,
but
you kept teasing it the whole show. Finally, I just had to say, all right, here it is.
We also teased at the beginning of the show that Lori might stop by. And guess who stopped by?
Hello. What's going on?
You tell me.
Nothing too much.
How you doing?
How you doing, Gary?
Did you get to... Hey, Lori, we had lunch today. Did you get some chicken wings?
No, because our good friend Kyle ate all of the buffalo.
Oh,
my
hey,
favorite
hey.
Food in the world. I
Kyle,
hate you right now.
You haven't been on this show in like
Eric,
a year and a half.
Two chicken wings.
And he's cleaning up shop over
and
here.
And when you came on...
She just came from lunch. Don't
didn't,
feel bad.
Didn't we just tell you when you came on that we were expecting Lori to come down and she was looking forward to
Kyle,
having lunch?
Kyle, my favorite food in the whole
come
world?
Come on, Kyle.
Ketchup.
I don't want you
ketchup.
Hanging around with these ignorant idiots.
Besides ketchup.
I know, Gary.
Neither do we.
He's
we don't
terrible.
Want you hanging around with
who,
those ignorant
who
idiots.
Who today?
Chris from the Bronx. One of our faithful
that was
listeners.
Nice. Chris from the Bronx.
Yeah. We read his email. It took us half an hour to get through it, but
He earned it.
He buys us lunch all the time. He's a good guy.
He's a frequent
he's a good
contributor.
One. But Kyle, who appears
who
on the show, you know,
once a year,
once every millennium, comes down and eats half of the food that Chris from the Bronx so generously donated to us today. Ooh, you just got the pinky from Lori.
Sorry, yes.
That's the equivalent of getting the finger from anyone else.
And he
I
left
know,
the radio
really
show on
anymore.
His computer just going. And going and going. So I was listening to you guys the whole time.
I wanted you to be filled in when
no,
you came
I don't
down,
like you.
What was going on. Lori and I share an office, by the way, for the listeners who don't know. So
used to be,
that's why
I
don't come to
Kyle's
the radio
very
show.
Privileged.
It used to be my office, too.
Back there.
Until,
yeah,
until
you,
I got
it was
promoted
you made
to PFW
switch.
And they got
Gary,
kicked out of my
Tech
office.
Mobile hooked up?
What in the hell is going on?
We are spiraling out of control.
All right. Well, we were also talking last show and earlier today about PFW merchandise, things that people have said they wanted to buy that has our logo and our likeness appearing on it.
I think you guys should make a necklace with a nice little charm. That's what I'm thinking.
What is wrong with
thanks,
you?
Lori.
I would wear it.
We're making PFW thongs. You want one of those?
Sure. I'll wear it.
Would you model it first so we can make sure that it's okay? We need to make sure. We have to do our...
Cali girl's supposed to model it for us.
Eric's
Well, that's true. But it's been 2 days and we haven't heard from her, so...
And I want an email with you wearing a thong and I'll judge to see if you're fit for the PFW.
Oh, wait, who's there?
Hey guys, it's Cali girl.
How you doing?
Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's word of the day.
Wow, this girl... studying to be an actress, I can tell.
Yep. People
was
are
really well
lining
done.
Up for the opportunity to introduce the Urban Dictionary Word of the Day.
Seriously,
this is getting a new
it's star-studded
phenomenon.
It
that is
star-studded.
The land.
The porn music is what sells it.
Even when Andy Hart is not here to read
it.
Well, we have a fill-in host.
Okay, we have a fill-in host. Any boob can
Holy
do
Paul
it,
Perillo.
As Andy proves every day. Today's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day, Eric, is San Francisco sunrise.
What's that?
That's San Francisco sunrise.
In honor of Fred Kirsch being suspended on the left coast and not being completely shut out,
like
being completely shut out from us here.
To the
He's been banished to the liberal bastion.
Lefty capital of the world.
Right. Pinko Commie Town of San Francisco.
Can I read the backup?
We did.
There
we
was
had
a backup today
it.
In honor of our
well,
special.
Give
it's a tough call.
In honor of,
Kyle,
you can't give the definition, guy.
Kyle.
He wants to get thrown off the air.
You don't just come on the show and start telling us how to run the show.
That brings us to our backup Urban Dictionary Word of the Day, which is the Kyle Syndrome, which evidently Gary stands for moron.
No, you can read the definition of
that
one.
You can read that definition.
Oh, I can?
That's
that one's
fine.
Clean?
Yeah.
A syndrome which, for some bizarre reason unknown to man, causes one to drool uncontrollably.
Kyle does that.
I do have that.
He does drool.
That's only when he's next to you in your office, Lori.
Yeah.
Or the days when he comes in high, which happens
every day.
Got to be more specific with that.
I know those pot smokers. They have to smoke on their way to work. I guarantee you.
Tom, I know those spots. Tom knows those guys.
I guarantee you, you're toking up on the way to work.
How do I reach?
And then he gets the munchies like he did today and eats all the buffalo tenders. It happens.
Oh, God.
Speaking of pot smokers, I'm betting this guy is. Kyle in Wakefield, New Hampshire. All those northern New England people. There.
Another Kyle?
Yeah, in Wakefield, New Hampshire. What's up, guys? I was just thinking to myself, what would make sense for you guys to make some money off of? I thought up the PFW Bass Pro line. Each member could have his own signature item. And so here's his list. The Remington
couch fishing is on there, probably?
The Remington Sawed-Off Casali Special. Gets the job done when you find out you only have days to live and feel like doing some... hunting.
I got news for you. Casali's going to get one of those this weekend for other business.
For other business
to take care of.
Some outstanding debts, Tom.
Then there's the Scalavino 5200 rod.
Great. You're getting a rod.
Great for deep sea fishing.
Surprise!
And finally, Eric will be able to say he has his own rod.
Can you not talk over Lori when she says you're getting a rod next time?
What did you say, Lori?
No, he's always trying to get me to say bad things so that he can.
I didn't hear what you just said.
I'm not repeating. I'm not. Nope.
You fell for it the first time.
I know.
Kirsch's 5-in-1 outdoor tool combination: shaver, knife, light, iPod, and rake. And that's all for his chest. Who
I'm
needs
not
one, right?
Anything about my breasts? Ugh, that was terrible.
Oh well, I'm sure Fred will buy one anyway. Hart Industries colon regulator for the many campers out there who. For whom Imodium goes through like kale soup. This will help you from crapping your pants with your wife's head on your lap.
What?
Andy told this horrendous story last week about how he was lying on the couch watching TV and Deirdre was lying there with her head in his lap. And
now Lori's getting jealous. Come on. You don't have to go into detail here.
He's not even
cue
here.
The porn music, Gary.
We can save that.
There you go again, telling people to do stuff.
What are you? Keep going.
Who are you, Eric?
Yeah, seriously. There's only room for one pompous ass on this show, and that's me.
Hey, Kyle.
Let's see. Oh, there's one more. There's Perillo's Meaty Trail Mix, filled with all of Paul's favorite health foods like pepperoni, wings, and steak.
Absolutely. Perfect.
And the first 1,000 buyers get a free trial membership to the Hair Club for Men.
I like it.
Keep up the good work, guys.
I like it.
That's Kyle. Not this Kyle, but Kyle from Wakefield, New Hampshire.
I don't get anything from the back.
Might be a first-time writer in. I don't remember ever hearing from Kyle. Unless maybe that was Kyle from New Hampshire, and he specified Wakefield this time. That's what threw me off. All right.
There's so many Kyles around the world.
Yeah, listening to
Well, there's so many in this room, that's for sure.
too many in this room.
Agreed.
I'm going to leave soon. Luis in Tampa. Speaking of, how do I reach these kids? Luis in Tampa. Hey, guys. Let me know if there's a slot open for lunch next Thursday. Gary, is there?
I believe Thursday is open, yes.
Luis, you are on the job.
Make sure he gets me some buffalo.
How do I reach these geeks?
You're going to have to get yourself, maybe if you can get some of your listeners to the cheerleader chit chat to write in and give you some food, then you can take part in that.
Or, Lori, you could take the cue when Kyle comes down to invade our studio that it's time for lunch. And,
or,
you know,
I could always eat your salad and you could eat.
You want to eat my salad?
I hate you guys.
Gary, Mark, Gary, help! Gary, help!
Where is he?
Why
is there?
Is it everything? Go to
the bathroom.
Turn around.
I need help. I need help.
Someone's got to say the word. You know what the word is.
I had a Fred Kirsch moment right there.
Oh,
anyway,
what kind of salad is that, Eric? What kind of salad is that?
I don't know, but I gotta finish Luis's email.
Would it be tossed? Would it be tossed by any chance?
It might be tossed.
Okay, all right.
Not
if you like it that way, sure. So he says,
this is a collectible issue of the last PFW Progress ever.
It's been a while since the last Who Would You Rather Kill. So Luis wants to know, who would you rather kill? Number one, there's four of them. Number one, Steve Young or Joe Theismann? I don't want to say hands down, but I'd say Joe Theismann in an instant.
Why do you have to kill them?
That's what we do. Not literally, Lori.
Yeah, I think I agree with you guys. Theismann's a little bit more irritating, but I wouldn't mind seeing both of them go off a cliff in a fiery bus crash.
At least in Young's defense, he once in a while, despite the 85 concussions he took in playing, starting only five seasons or whatever it was, he does make a good point now and then. Theismann, I've never heard make a good point. He only likes to talk about himself, it seems like. Number two, Peyton Manning's face or Eli Manning's face?
Eli Manning.
Their face? I think Peyton looks like he got hit in the face with a shovel. He's got the flat nose and everything.
I think they're talking about those faces they make when things go badly.
Yeah.
You know, like the pouting face. You know, the Manning face.
Oh, the walking off the field.
Eli looks half retarded.
I agree with
that. That brings a little sympathy into the equation. At least,
me.
Peyton looks
like
a spoiled brat.
The stupidest man I've ever talked. I mean, really, he doesn't know how to form sentences. He's like me. He just stumbles over himself, but he should
You're smarter than Eli Manning, Tom.
I'm just going to say,
Eli's better looking, though.
What?
He is better looking than Peyton.
The first person I've ever heard say Eli Manning is good looking.
I didn't say he was good looking. I said better looking.
He does have a hot fiance, but that has nothing to do with the fact that he's a.
Yeah, it's probably something to do
as
with
we
the
know
old.
With you know
as certain other
pending nuptials
yes,
around the Gillette
sure.
Stadium area.
Yep.
In the near future.
Mm-hmm. Former cheerleaders.
See, you got to take it one step.
What? That's not giving anything away.
Just pull back. You know, you should just push just a little bit more. You should pull back a little.
You're right over there.
Gary knows what. No.
Gary looks confused.
Night shift.
Number three, Monday night Dennis Miller or Monday night Tony Kornheiser? Kornheiser. Can't stand him.
I can't stand both.
Miller was on my level, very cerebral.
I was going to say. You probably
like
Dennis
Miller. Because of Dennis Miller being so pompous, I'd rather see him go.
Get out of town! And you two guys!
And finally, Luis wants to know who we'd rather kill. Chris Ferreira or... Sorry, I didn't find anyone who could challenge him. Take care. Good job, Luis. Check in again with us.
Is Chris here today?
Yeah,
he's around.
He's listening, guaranteed.
Hi, Chris.
I'm sure he's. He's hi, Lori.
This might be the worst show
I
ever done.
Yeah. I think it is.
Who knew? Who knew how
important
Fred Kirsch was to the successive rate of this show?
Are you saying that Eric's
not
doing a good job?
Look at the face he makes.
I'm hurt, guy. It hurts more coming from you.
Did you
the
host
longest.
On Tuesday?
Yeah,
I can't believe there's 45 minutes left.
It has to be the worst
we
show
we can always
we've
talk
done.
About women's
no, no, no.
football. We were talking about it yesterday, remember?
You know what? God. You bring that up.
Women can't
Kyle?
Play football.
That's Kyle?
Yes, good they point. Can.
Not with men.
You
contact
told me.
Football.
They can play just
there's
with
there's
women.
A
with women.
That's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I'm thinking about joining.
I'm all for it.
Kyle, you're thinking what? Whoa, 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 whoa. Did you hear that?
I'm going to try it. What position should I be?
Come on. That's too easy.
No, I mean, you know, I should be the quarterback.
Any position you want.
There are three. There are three.
Three
ex-Patriots,
right?
Three alumni players coaching the Boston Militia right now in the American Women's Football
League. How many fans they?
Dan Tycho.
a lot. No, I don't know.
Is it
they're
over
trying
50?
To
you
actually
can,
get
you can
a lot
go
of
to their practices,
fans in so that the women
really?
Can be paid.
People are apparently doing that. I'm sorry? There's Derek Beasley, Vernon Crawford, sans the gold tooth. He doesn't have that anymore.
No.
Nope, no more gold tooth for Vern. And Robert Perryman.
So three former Patriots coaching the Boston entry. And
well, that was really interesting. Not.
And they're owned by Ernie Bach Jr.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Now you got to throw a sponsor plug in there, too.
No, I'm just saying they are.
You got any emails in there about, like, football?
Life. I got somebody who's mad at you, actually. Well, not mad at you.
Anything about life
actually,
in general?
There is one that's mad about you, but GR in Goffstown. Do we have lunch scheduled for Tuesday, Gary?
I believe we do, so we can put you for next Tuesday.
We can put you for the following.
No, we can't put him for the following.
With Luis, we're good through the draft.
Really? Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Well, mark down GR and Goffstown.
Catch you after the draft.
We'll catch you at one of these points. But he wants to know if you got his email, Tom.
No, I don't think so.
Some personal email. I said,
what was it regarding?
What is it regarding?
Don't
know. Tom gets so many
fan
emails.
Give Scout.com and PatriotsInsider.com a little love and check out our interstate mock draft.
No.
I don't know. Maybe that's what he was trying to plug.
I didn't get it.
You're pre-reading all the emails looking for F-bombs, and then you read someone giving a plug to their own thing.
Loyal listeners, they deserve a little shout now and then. What do you mean?
There's a lot of tension between you two today.
All right, well, there's...
Gone.
Yeah, there is. You're turning on
ask,
me.
Ask
you're
Fred
turning
about,
on me.
Ask Fred about that when he gets back.
Are you guys going to start throwing bows over there?
No, that already happened last week.
You did?
A couple of weeks ago. No, not me and him, but...
Who?
Don't worry about it. Anyway...
Tommy.
Paulie in L.A. has issues with you, Tom. His subject line.
Who he is.
Well, he's got issues with you.
I don't know who he is either.
OMG Casale is his subject line. It says, you fat mozzarella-eating cork soaker. You got to be kidding me. Where the hell does your chin end and your neck begin? Who the hell put you in that shirt?
Wow.
You lose a bet or did Eric pick up your dry cleaning?
Are you sure this wasn't supposed to be me?
No, it's no. Well, it's written by Paulie.
Oh,
but
well,
it says in L.A.
I didn't write it. I'm saying.
It's about Casale. It says, oh, my God, Casale, between that haircut and that profile shot, you look like someone stuck an air hose up a G.I. Joe's ass and didn't turn the air off.
That's muscle, my friend. I don't know what to tell you.
You think you can beat Eric in an athletic battle of baseball, basketball, finger... Wait for it, he writes. Whatever
record,
it was,
I
shut
did
up.
Turn off your microphone when you were about to read that word.
Yeah.
You can't say that word?
Not that phrase.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware that was an off-limits one. Sorry. Anyway... Says, shut your dumb, no-book-reading, bloated ass up. After all the ball-breaking you do on the show, you got the guts to go on Patriots Today looking like an albino Smurf in plaid. Wow, this guy really doesn't like you.
I don't know what to tell you.
Then he says, I joke. I really like all the great football info you bring to the show. You keep talking football,
no
though,
offense.
You guys.
Jeez, he just took every shot at you in the
no,
ball.
No,
hey,
no disrespect.
But I do have a defense. The shirt I was wearing, I bought in... 1996, so it's 12 years old.
Time
now,
for a new one, Tom.
You might be asking yourself, why don't you have a new shirt?
Yeah.
Now you can discuss that with Fred Kirsch, who has docked me
taking the shirt off of
that. After my review, I now make less money.
I thought this was going to go back to the structure problem. Is that
that is.
Can I assume that the shirt you had on was one of those structure shirts?
Back in the old days,
structure
used to make shirts that fit people like me.
I know.
And now. I can't find it. This is a newer shirt. It's Nautica. That's the only thing I can find.
You can try
really.
Express for men, but they're like Kyle size.
They're all Kyle sizes.
Yeah.
Like they
Eric
need
size.
To come up with a store short and fat for people like
you're
Andy
not
and
sure.
I. But you know, like
but they would
like
sell
the
a
short
lot of clothes,
stocky
right.
guys. Yeah.
So like they have a big and tall store. They have a big and small.
Yeah,
you know?
It's discrimination, I say.
They don't have a tall girl store,
and you're not taking it anymore. You're right.
And I'm not arguing that shirt is completely out of style. I'm sure that it is, but it fits me well. And, you know, you got to go with what fits.
Anyway, he also says he's going to buy us lunch one of these days. Well, make it soon.
Maybe he should buy Tom a new shirt.
That said, he does have a question. With all the best play of the 2007 vote talk on Patriots.com and Patriots Today, I have to say, are they going to release a DVD of last year? Other than the final few minutes of the Super Bowl, those games were the greatest ever. They were still unreal all year. And I think we could appreciate that as fans of the game, not just the team, no matter what the final record of last year. Am I nuts? Am I nuts or what? He wants to know.
I have a theory about Belichick that he's nuts. Is he nuts?
Might be a little nuts.
I don't think there'll be any DVDs celebrating the fact that we came in second place.
Yeah, probably not.
And when I'm off to Las Vegas to my new job, we'll see who this guy. You'll miss me.
Yeah, when's that taking place?
I'll probably be leaving in August sometime.
Going to take an advanced scout trip, though, to check things out?
Yeah, July.
July.
see what they got.
Where are you going?
To Las Vegas.
To work West. For who?
Huh?
Who are you going to work for?
There's people out there.
There's people. I got people.
He's got some of Tom's people.
Travis in Tallahassee wants to know, first, I want to mention Eric's artistic ability. Well, there's not much, but he could totally get a job at Disney or Universal Studios. Now, to the draft. After the first round, the second and two third-round picks are very crucial for some depth in the defense and setting up the defense for the future. Honestly, if you had to pick now, what position do you think they will go with those three picks, and are you leaning towards any in those rounds?
Say tight end, running back, and offensive line.
It could go a lot of ways.
Everyone thinks it's going to be defense. It'll probably be three offensive players.
And it all depends.
And it's on what they do with number seven.
And then it all depends on what's available.
Yeah.
You know, if we sit here and say, well, I think they'll go defense and they'll take cornerbacks, but, you know, there's 15 corners taken in the top, you know, 50 picks. I don't think they're going to just take a cornerback for the sake of taking a corner in the second round.
You wouldn't think so. I mean, some teams do find that temptation hard to resist when there's a run on a position and they might want
it.
Not
a lot. Not as many as you would think.
No, but.
Let's put it that way.
And I don't think the Patriots are the kind of team that would do that. So,
no.
But there's also the possibility they trade down, get a few extra picks, maybe.
I would be very surprised if they didn't take defensive backs with some, those three picks that they're talking about, the second rounder and the two thirds. Mm-hmm. I would be very surprised if it wasn't at least one defensive back among those three.
I think you're right. Tight end, they draft a tight end all the time, and as we talked about a million times, there's going to be a need for at least a blocker, if not someone who can do both. And I think there's plenty of depth in this year's draft at that spot. So, you know, second or third round might be a little high for that. They might wait till, you know, maybe third or fourth round.
What about
but
quarterback,
still.
Tom, later on? What do you think? You think you get your boy Colt Brennan?
Yeah, I think they'll probably go quarterback at some point. Supposedly they like Colt Brennan, so if he's available in that fifth round area, maybe they'll take a shot with him. I think when you look at the team, one of the places that needs to be upgraded is another quarterback. I don't think a rookie is going to come in and unseat Castle as the backup probably, but is Castle the long-term answer here as the backup? So maybe you get a guy, start him at three, and moves up to two.
I'd be shocked if this isn't Castle's last year here.
Yeah.
And
it's the last year of his contract. Yeah. I think Gutierrez stuck around last year, so that was a sign to me that they liked him, what they saw.
Liked enough that
I think
they at least might want to challenge him.
If he makes development this year, I think he's pushing hard to be the number two guy this year, and I don't think they make any effort whatsoever to re-sign Castle.
And I have a prediction that when Castle leaves here, you never hear his name again.
Yeah, don't think anybody will pick him up?
Someone will, but I don't. Same thing, a third string quarterback.
Might
somewhere.
Be like Scott Mitchell. Remember him a few years ago? Had played a couple of backup games, and then all of a sudden he was starting.
I don't think he'll be able to
ever start a game in this league.
Scott Mitchell had at least one good year in that
the end of
that silver stretch offense in Detroit.
Yeah,
you know. So I don't think Castle will ever.
And his impersonation of Wayne Fonts was dead on, too.
Hi, this is pro quarterback Matt Castle.
That's a little bit of a stretch.
He's a professional. He's a professional.
And I love Castle.
I love Castle.
I love him, but I'm just saying what I think.
I didn't say anything that Wes Welker didn't say to him that day he was on the
right.
show.
Mish in Montreal says, hey, guys, I'd just like to ask Eric to stop writing in from emails he created as an excuse to talk about his art. Thank you.
I agree. That's how he worked that one in there, too, though.
He wrote it, not me. I was rather surprised on Tuesday when you guys seemed positive that Merriweather would start over Bryan. I don't think we were
positive.
We said it might
definitely not positive.
No, I thought Bryant would come in as a starter with Merriweather playing third on the depth chart. Obviously, Merriweather knows the system better than Bryant right now, and that would give him the advantage to start week one. But wouldn't Bryant be considered a better choice once he's learned the system? And on that note, I'd like you guys to talk a bit on what Merriweather does well at corner. I'd say he certainly can't catch. Sometimes seems to take bad angles on the ball and doesn't cover all that well, but is physical and does tackle well. That's Mish from Montreal.
Yeah, I don't think he does anything particularly well at corner from what I saw in the preseason. I didn't think he showed great instincts. He can't catch, and that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
You know, it
would have changed the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I always bring up Will Allen from the Giants, who would have one interception a year and drop eight more. And a lot of times those dropped interceptions led to big scoring drives for the other team. So when you drop those interceptions, you're hurting your defense by not, you know, letting a drive continue. So it'll be interesting. You're just asking me what I saw, like on my limited in preseason. I didn't see much.
But definitely couldn't stress more. No one's guaranteeing Brandon Merriweather.
We certainly weren't confident. We said that those three would be in the mix
top three. I think Brian's experience might actually give him a leg up. But by no means am I saying that Merriweather is ready to step in and start. I just think that he makes sense to me at cornerback right now, while they work out some of the other things.
Last year you had the three man. You typically had Samuel, Hobbs, and Gay were your top three guys in any rotation. When one of them went down, the other would fill in. That's what we're saying. Merriweather, Bryant, and Hobbs will probably be those three guys this year.
And Jason Webster, I would say, is probably going to be in that mix too. And I think you have some safeties. You have, Tank Williams now, and Lewis Sanders. I think there's a good chance that one of those four guys that they signed won't be on the team. Webster, Sanders, Williams, and Bryant. I think one of those four there's a reasonable chance that won't even make the club. I couldn't tell you which one it is yet. We haven't obviously practiced or anything. But
excuse me, Colin in Bristol, Connecticut has some ideas for our merchandising line. Says he ran across this idea a couple of days ago and thought it was perfect for the show. There's a product out there called Skin It. And what they do is make covers for MP3s, laptops, and other electronic items. And I think that a PFW-related cover would earn some cash, maybe charge a few bucks for it, and even have like an end-of-the-season contest where one listener can have it signed by a Patriots player, maybe do a Skin It, a pigskin pick'em with all the listeners to win it.
Oh, God! I skinned my pecker!
But he has one caveat. He says, you have to find a way to fit Andy's large head on one. Other than that, keep up the great work, guys. Later.
Yeah, I'm in favor of anything.
Are you guys putting your faces on, whatever you make? I thought it was
Not
logo.
Necessarily. There's some talk about doing likenesses.
My face will actually be on the thong. On the front.
Actually, it would be just the back of your head, wouldn't it, Tom?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
We could fit Andy's on there, so.
Well, no. It'd have to be an extra large teddy.
I don't want to see the woman who's wearing that thong.
Right. That wouldn't be a teddy. That would be a grizzly.
Guys.
What?
You're not being nice.
To who? Andy?
Fat
women? Larger
woman?
Women in the world.
We're not talking. We're not making fun of them. We're making fun of Andy.
And besides,
I was making fun of the fat woman.
And I know as Tom already pointed out, we know you're jealous, but,
Yeah.
It's all
in
fun.
I'm so jealous.
Calm down.
So jealous.
Did you hear when you did the word of the day and she's like, Andy's not here?
Yeah. Like, she was all disappointed. I know. Like he can't read a piece of pipe off of.
How dare you steal Andy's joke?
Right.
That I give him.
Poor Gary. He never gets the credit he's due.
He didn't really deserve any credit.
He really wasn't going with that. But.
Aw, he calls him the
He food. Walks around with that folder. He
you haven't done any baking
Penske
for us lately, Lori.
He's working on the Penske.
No, you guys haven't brought anything in for me to make with.
Why do we have to bring you something?
Anything
why can't you just be nice
for me
and
make with?
Because the last time...
Good. You eat your muffins. They're moist. You eat your muffins. They're moist.
No, the last time I made a nice little cheesecake, it was actually sugar-free and stuff, and Tom didn't even have a piece.
Oh, sugar-free.
I didn't know about it.
Yes, that was last summer.
Then I wasn't
summer.
Here.
And then Andy
day.
Was like, it wasn't even real cheesecake.
Then I wasn't here. If you made a sugar-free cheesecake, I'd have had a piece.
It was
I
Oreo
guarantee
sugar-free.
You
that.
Not surprising. She was most disappointed that Andy chose
yes.
to criticize him.
See, she doesn't remember the fact that I wasn't here to have a piece.
But,
but
she remembers that.
Exactly.
That's right.
No. Eric had a piece. Eric had a piece. Yes, you did. It was Oreo.
Okay, yeah, I remember. That was before the muffins.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I wasn't. I think I was away then because I wasn't here for the muffins either.
What in the hell is going on?
How many of those in one show? Is this an all-time record?
She always seems to bake when you're not around, though, Tom.
All right, next time we'll make a date of it, and if you're not in Vegas, then we'll do it.
Next topic.
Yeah, you better do it for a celebratory see you later, Tom party when he does go to Vegas.
I just leave.
So what do you want made?
You don't have to celebrate anything.
What do you want made? What do you complain about?
Whatever you think is good.
Everything is good.
Then make something.
All right.
Please.
So I'll surprise you guys.
Okay.
Well, you don't eat anyway.
Anthony, the guy from UMaine, who's big on that, the Mulligan tight end guy, says, hey, guys, I understand the Pats are going into the season with a lot of running backs, but well, I wouldn't say a lot of running backs, but I was curious if you guys think that they would draft one at any point. Yeah, probably. I think it's more likely that they'd spend picks to get wide receivers and maybe even some O-line, but are there any running backs on the market that they might be interested in? I'm not complaining about Maroney, Morris, Falk, and Tandem, But both Maroney and Morris don't seem to survive the entire seasons without injury. I'd love them to get Ray Rice, but a second-round pick, even if he's there, may be a bit high for them to add on that position. What do we think?
I don't think that they're going to be taking a running back in the draft, and I do think
not even later rounds.
Look, if there's a value pick there, I'm not going to rule out a position, but I just don't think that's very high. I mean, I think there's a lot of other positions that would make more sense than running back right now. Not that those guys aren't good players, because I think they are. I think when you have Maroney, you have Morris, you have Heath Evans, mm-hmm. even in a pinch to run the ball,
Kyle Echol,
and you have Kevin Fall coming out of the backfield, and you have a special teams kind of guy with Evans in with Kyle Echol. I just don't really see the need for another running back. Now, they took one in the sixth round last year in Justice Hairston.
Ended up with the Colts, right?
You know, maybe they take another guy like that in the sixth round, and he has very little chance of making the team. But I don't really see them adding a guy that would factor into the 2008 season.
You don't think so, Tom? Any point?
Fifth round at the earliest, probably. Nothing before that. Unless someone that they really like had slipped.
Yeah, I don't see that happening with the...
It's one of those things, and we talked about it yesterday. I think there's a better chance that, you know, all of a sudden everybody slips, and at number seven you're sitting there and you're saying, how can we not take Darren McFadden?
Yeah.
I think there's a better chance of that than there is of taking like Ray Rice in the third round.
Mm-hmm. Shane in Miami wants to know, you guys have stated a few times that if you're going to draft a tackle high in the top 10 and pay him big money, and it has to be a franchise left tackle in the mold of Orlando Pace or Walter Jones. I understand your rationale, but I'm not sure the rest of the league would agree with you. Look at the money that teams have been paying guards in the last few years. Many have gotten over $20 million in guarantees.
They were overpaid.
Right. If you can pay a guard that kind of money, then why not a right tackle? If you think Jake Long will be a Pro Bowl caliber right tackle and you can pay him a contract similar to a Pro Bowl guard, then what's the problem? Even if you guys seem to think that Long will be a good to great right tackle, I don't understand why it has to be a skill position player to pay him a big contract.
Well, first of all,
it doesn't have to be.
No, but those guards that received that money were good. They played in the NFL.
NFL players.
Right. Yeah. Alan Faneca is the one I think he's thinking of.
We don't know if Long is going to be anything. So you're giving him that kind of money, he could be a bust.
I wouldn't have given Alan Faneca the contract that he just got and drafted him at number four. Just so you know. I mean, just mm-hmm. there's a guy that they just gave a big contract to, and he's not the only one. There was like two guards last year that got
Davis
like
from the
seven years, $49 million. Dockery, I think, was
Leonard
one of the other
Davis
ones.
For the Cowboys. Dockery for
I wouldn't have drafted those guys in the top five either. But they're established NFL players, as Tom points out. I still think they overpaid for him. I wouldn't have given him that amount of money, and I'm not convinced that Jake Long is as good as the resume says he is.
Right.
It's not because of the position that I wouldn't pay him. I mean, I'd have paid Orlando Pace. I just, I don't really love picking offensive linemen that high, but he was a franchise player worth that contract.
And you don't take right tackles that high. You don't take tight ends that high. You usually don't take safeties that high. You know, as a general rule, there's certain you don't take guards that high.
Even people are talking about this Brandon Albert from Virginia being, steadily rising up the draft boards. I personally think he's a little overrated, but even if you think he's that great, why are you going to take a guard that high?
When I did the last 11
he's
years
a guard.
Of drafts, from 95 to 05, I didn't count the most recent because I wanted to let more time go by before we evaluate those guys, but mm-hmm. I was talking about just the positions taken in the top 10, and it's quarterbacks, it's wide receivers, and it's defensive linemen. And then everything else pales in comparison. Mm-hmm. The offensive linemen go down. In terms of the number of top 10 picks, Tom's absolutely right. Tight ends and safeties and linebackers, none. There are hardly any. And safeties, only recently, starting with like Sean Taylor and Roy Williams and those guys.
Yeah, they're
and now and now more recently, guys that I didn't evaluate because of Dante Whitner and Michael Huff and guys like that. But there aren't a lot of safeties that you get taken that high either. It's quarterbacks, wide receivers, defensive linemen, and then running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else, I think, kind of falls behind.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482, the phone number.
There's the Skinnet thing.
Yeah,
Skinnet. Oh, yeah, there's a commercial for it right now. Look at that.
Oh, God!
Some more riveting radio.
Well, they had a Cowboys one time. You just missed it.
I'm not going to get it.
Wow.
I don't know. This is exactly the kind of thing Fred would say. Yeah, you know what? We gotta do that.
Well,
we gotta
get one.
It's already been done.
No one else in the NFL's got one.
I'll tell you what.
There's a Cowboys one that just shows up.
That's the gift for when he goes to Vegas. We get him a Cowboys
Cowboy Skinnet. Random thoughts here is the subject line by Sean in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Hello, guys. Hope all is well. No, it's not really. Schedule's coming out next week. Draft right behind it. There are two good seasons of the year left, football season and waiting for football season. The rest is time filler. Anyway, some random thoughts and your expert thoughts is always appreciated. Number one, the schedule. I got the Tom Casale book it prediction wrong, saying the Pats will open up with the Chargers, but here's my first month prediction of the schedule. Week one, Jets at home, 1 o'clock. I think that might be a good guess. Mm-hmm. Week two, at San Diego. This is just like last year. Isn't it? Almost. only the roles are reversed. At San Diego, 8:30 p.m. Sunday night. That's a good chance of that.
Do the whole schedule here?
No, just the first five. Okay. Just the first, like, five games. Week three, Pittsburgh, 1 o'clock at home.
Sure.
I'll take it. And then week four, at Seattle, 8:30 Monday night.
I don't agree. I think those are all the best games in the Patriots schedule, and I don't think the NFL will put them all in the
Not
first.
Including the Colts game.
Yeah, but I mean... You know, you're talking San Diego, the Jets, Pittsburgh. Those are games that I think they're going to target to try to get in certain spots and big
flex schedule. Flex schedule later in the year.
When I'm in Vegas, I'm going to be feeling sorry for you guys if that's the opening opening schedule.
But he does give us the bye week in week five. Okay. So we have that tough stretch in the first 4 weeks, and then we get a week off to spend the next 12 weeks and trying to make the playoffs.
What if you don't go to Vegas?
What do you mean?
He's
what if
going.
You don't go? You're definitely going?
He's going.
No.
Oh,
I thought you were.
What? Oh, for vacation?
Oh, that's what you're going there for.
Yeah, but, you know, he's maybe putting some feelers out there, too, Lori.
Oh.
Yeah, no,
you're
I'm
going
not,
for your honeymoon.
I'm not definitely leaving.
Oh.
No.
You guys.
We're joking. We're taking it the extra mile.
I actually thought he was.
See?
No.
Paul and I were on the same page here.
I'll let you know after I see the schedule. See how that shapes out.
random thought number two from Sean. Has there been a better choice in not doing something by the NFL than not playing that stupid exhibition game in China last year? There was a plot to kidnap athletes, journalists foil that was on the news. I think and hope you guys have a say in if this game ever gets played.
No
you don't go.
And I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to ask you guys this. I had mentioned many times, and Fred shot it down, of course, because he's Fred, that... What about, will people, like, protest if we go over there? And, of course, Fred said, no, China's like a utopia. People love China.
And now all of a sudden, the Olympics right.
And those hippies are on the Golden Gate Bridge with signs and everything else.
Mr. Pomposity, you know, fill in us less enlightened, such as me. I shouldn't pluralize that. But when did this stuff with Tibet start?
It's been going on for decades.
Okay, so it has nothing to do with...
It's not something that just started.
This conceivably could have happened when the Patriots went over there then.
Conceivably, yeah.
Okay.
It's become more of an issue now because the protesters are taking the opportunity that there's attention focused on China.
No, I know the Olympics is
no, this has been spotlight. This has been going on forever.
But they're protesting... You know,
they've wanted freedom for...
Ostensibly because of that.
Well, not just Tibet, but Taiwan's another one of those... regions that's really part of China but is really independent, but China exerts all their control over them, and they've been wanting to be free for a long time.
What
Tibet's
in the
another
hell
one
is going on?
So no, I think Tom's right. That could be a concern if the NFL wants to go over
going.
There. Although, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know the Dodgers just played a game there, end of the spring training game. They played a game there, and the NBA's played a game or two in China recently. And there really wasn't anything
you know why?
Made about that.
Because the NBA and the Dodgers spring training in the NFL. This is another thing where I think people could use a platform. Because the NFL, let's be honest.
Worldwide.
Isn't,
yeah.
I mean, when it comes to sports. And other than the Olympics, which is the worldwide thing, I think that they could make a statement using the NFL like mm-hmm. they're doing sure. with the Olympics, like you said.
And as far as we know...
The PFW writer is just the thing to get everyone's attention, I think.
could you see one of us trying to scale the Golden Gate Bridge or putting those signs up? And
Can you
we
imagine?
Won't go!
Is
we
Woody
won't
Harrelson's
go!
Woody Harrelson's there with, like he does every other time when there's a
trying
topic
to legalize
on,
marijuana.
Yeah, the Golden Gate Bridge.
I'm surprised we haven't seen... who's the actor?
Richard Gere.
Richard Gere.
He, was... He's leading the thing.
Oh, he is? I hadn't seen any
and,
clips of him yet.
Who's the, out there, who's the reverend or the famous?
The Dalai Lama?
Yeah, that's who it is. him and, he's a famous guy that you would know if you heard his name. Him and whoever that guy is were leading a candlelight
a visual
thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so he
don't
has,
worry, Richard Gere is
okay,
right in the middle of it.
Because every time.
And soon Bono will be here. He's got to take
not,
a trip from
that's
Africa.
That's not in Africa,
and,
though.
But I'm sure somehow they're screwing the African kids out of the food, so Bono will be here.
How can I reach these kids?
How do I reach these kids?
They were just in Africa last night, weren't they, for Idol Gives Back?
Yeah, Bono was, of course.
Yeah, see?
But I'd like to see when the cameras are off when he pushes those kids away from him. Get out of here.
Taking my airtime. Get out of the way, kid.
Random thought number three from Sean in Hazleton. I think the biggest draft need for the Pats is not linebacker, cornerback, or even O-line. It's something that's not on the draft board. It's called psyche. To me, it remains to be seen if this team could overcome the biggest disappointment, not just in Pats history, but NFL history. They have come back before, but count me in the skeptical corner on this debate.
Well, it's got nothing to do with the draft.
But I see what he's trying to make a point, that what they need more than players is sort of an emotional pick-me-up, kind of like when they lost to the Colts the year before in the AFC Championship game. That served as the springboard to what happened last year. The question now is, can you gear up that kind of emotion 2 years in a row? I kind of agree with Sean. It might be hard to do. I don't think it's impossible, but I think it's going to be hard for them to do that 2 years in a row.
I think that's a difficult thing. But are we saying that they used the springboard of the AFC Championship game more so than anything else? I mean, I think the difference between 06 and 07 was players, to me. I mean, they went out and got immense talent that they didn't have in 06.
Right.
And so far, from 07 to 08, they haven't done that yet.
But the thing was, going in, everyone thought that 06 team overachieved to get to the AFC Championship game. This year,
they didn't.
They didn't.
They went out and acquired four or five guys that were key, you know, Adalys Thomas, Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Dante Stallworth. You know, the list goes on and on. They went out and got players,
but
they didn't have.
The expectation was from April, when they finally acquired Moss and they had signed Thomas and traded for Welker, was this team, write it down now, April of last year, is going to win the Super Bowl.
But
then they went on and won 18 in a row.
But people said that because of the guys they signed.
Right. And
not because they had lost in the AFC Championship game the year before.
Right. Those guys are back. But, you know, you had guys like Bruschi and Seau probably making, you know, that was probably going to be their last hurrah. If they had won that game, we probably wouldn't even be talking about Bruschi coming back, Seau possibly returning.
I would agree with that.
They probably would have said, you know what, it's been a good career. Maybe even Harrison might have said, hey, you know what, that's a good way to go out.
Now, that's the dangerous part for me, because if that's true, what you're saying, that's telling me those guys have already semi-retired. So, like, if they're saying to themselves, if you're one game, now you're coming back, I don't think you're going to have the drive and the focus that you had last year. I just think it's a human nature thing. Nothing against Bruschi, nothing against Seau.
No, not at all.
If Asante Samuel hangs on to that pick and you win that game and you're going to retire,
I think it's a different
and now
team,
you're coming
a different
back,
roster.
I think it's going to be hard to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and do those things you were doing last year, just with those couple
I
of
agree.
Guys.
Yeah, I do too. And don't you think that's a concern, Tom?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A big concern. That's why I don't think if Seau maybe not coming back, I don't think it's a huge deal. Because now you got that Hobson, who's kind of a hungry guy.
So sure.
We always talk about how Bill tries to replace these veterans with other veterans who are kind of hungry, and I think that's what he's trying to do here.
And you know what? I was kind of thinking that, you know, all season I was thinking, well, you know, this is probably it for those older linebackers. And I probably still would have felt that way, but the thing that sealed it for me was when Moss scored the touchdown in the Super Bowl. It was like, what, 2 minutes and change left, right?
Nice hug and said
and
one more time.
The cameras focused, exactly, they focused on Bruschi and Seau on the sidelines, and you could read his lips clearly. Like you said, Tom, he hugged him and he said, one more time. And you could tell that they were just saying, this is it for us. This is our moment of glory. And you saw how devastated Seau was
when
Burris scored that touchdown, and he just lay there face in the ground for like 10 minutes, didn't want to get up. Because I think, you know, I don't know if he felt quite like that, but.
He looked like Rodney Dangerfield.
Desmond Tutu.
Bishop Desmond Tutu from South Africa.
Yes. That's the guy that Richard Gere is having a candlelight vigil.
Okay. Yeah. He's been, at the risk of sounding pompous and asking you this, but have you heard of that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Especially when you have
to say,
South Africa. The Bishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa. Yes.
He came and spoke at my high school.
Yes.
He's actually an archbishop.
Just in case you guys didn't know who that was,
right.
I'm going to make sure that you know that I knew who that was.
don't
fret, mon frere.
Paul, Sean has his parting shot. Not really a shot. He's actually defending you. He says,
Sean wouldn't take shots at me.
No. He says, stop ragging on Paul. Caught him on CSNE last night. And he's no Pete Shepard in the weight department. The way you rag on him, he's pushing three bills.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
Well, Andy's you're not pushing here. Three bills, no?
Andy's not here, so no one's thinking no. I'm pushing three
I completely
bills.
Agree with him. I don't know why they get on you about your weight.
Because that's what we do.
But I don't get it. You're not even big.
Of course I am.
Tom's bigger than you.
Yeah, but Tom's got muscle.
Yeah, but he's big in, you know, shoulders, arms. Paul's got it, you know.
I got it right in the belly.
Kyle,
get in my belly.
Right. Hey, you said you got your son saying that
now. Tell my son? I'm going to eat you.
All right.
Keith in Central Florida. I know you guys have spoke on past shows of Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie being a gamble at number 7 because he's a little raw and comes from a small school. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame, but do you know 6 of the 11 corners in the NFL Hall of Fame also came from small schools? And I hear DRC is training with the great Daryl Green.
And if you don't think he's great, he'll tell you that he is.
And also read that some scouts are saying Cromartie had the best hip replacement seen in many years to go hip placement. Excuse me, hip placement.
I'm not really looking at corners with hip replacements
to go along with the great speed. Couldn't Belichick develop this guy into a real special playmaker? Thoughts?
Probably. Listen, I'm not saying because he comes from a small school, he's no good. I'm saying when you're looking at number 7, I don't know if I'd take him there. And hey, I didn't get to see him play a lot. A lot of my opinions come from watching guys. You know, we can watch the tape and everything. But I like to watch him in game situations. You know, that's why I like Kaysan so much, because I saw him make plays when games were on the line and his team. You know, yeah. I didn't get to see that with Cromartie because I don't watch Tennessee State play. So it's just hard for me to give you an overall. I mean, is he a great athlete? Sure, we all know that. I mean, does he have the physical tools to be great? Sure.
Is he related to the Cromartie that plays for San Diego? Yes, and yes. I think that's where a lot of the hype is coming
but
from.
But I can't really give you too much in-depth on him because I just haven't seen him play a lot.
Yeah, and you know, the other name that's talked about in a lot of mock drafts for the Patriots at number 7 is another cornerback from a small school, Leotis McKelvin, mm-hmm. who, if you watch the tape on him, he's a phenomenal return guy.
Yeah.
Amazing quicks. We just don't know what he's going to be like covering covering guys like T.O. and other big wide receivers in the NFL.
They barely mentioned it. I didn't hear his name. They didn't talk about him as being a pro. I mean, like I said, those Thursday night games, if there's like a big-time pro prospect on there, they gush over him nonstop. It just, I don't know. I mean, is he a good player? Sure. He's a great return man, like you said.
But, oh, yeah, no doubt about that. But do you want to draft a return guy at 7? Look what the Dolphins did last year with Ted Ginn Jr.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you know, like I said, we all can't really give you. It's much easier for us to talk about guys from USC and the guys that we see play all the time. Cromartie, we get a little film on, and that's about it. It's hard. I don't know that much about him.
Hmm. James from England, our intrepid administrator of our PFW in Progress MySpace page. That's myspace.com/PFW in Progress. Guys, James in England checking in. 2 quick questions. 1, Lori, have you forgotten the pics you promised to send me on MySpace? And by that smile, you have not forgotten?
Not.
Where are they?
Gary wouldn't let me send one.
I wouldn't?
Yeah, he wants a picture of you.
And Mini Gary.
I don't have
I'm going to send the one with you in the fur coat.
I don't know if we can get enough.
Enough
from
of
the
what?
Calendar.
Oh. I don't know if we can get enough a big enough picture to get all of Mini Gary's hair in it. I don't know if that'll work.
Well, we'll just
where is he, by the way? He's on vacation.
He got vacation already?
I think he's got a family thing.
Oh.
I thought he was an intern. Is he an intern?
No, he works for us
works
now.
Here.
Thanks for playing the role of Fred Kirsch.
Right.
Who said that about 6 months after he got hired here.
Mini Gary works for Big Gary.
And James brings up another great question, which we haven't talked about at all yet. Why have you guys not discussed the important news while Lori is there? How did the new cheerleading squad look, and when do we get to see them on the website?
Because Lori's a has-been.
And she's the worst person to tell you because she won't tell you if they have big boobs.
I like
if they
your
do
boobs.
Have big boobs, she won't like them. You need someone like Andy to
if
break that down.
If they have big boobs, I don't like them.
Yeah.
You don't.
Anyways, so she picked 23 girls. They look awesome.
I thought the number was supposed to be 24.
Yeah, well, she went with 23 this year.
Why?
Just for unknown reasons I know of.
Now, there was some talk, there was a lot of talk a couple of days before the finals that there was this 18-year-old high school senior who, Tom, I know you would love with just because
he's got to be kidding me.
Who I believe made the team.
From Foxborough High School.
Oh.
Foxborough High School.
I believe she's
got a picture of her.
Are you all right?
She's not.
She's blonde.
There's a list on the website of all the names.
A list, but the, you know, James wants pictures.
18-year-old high school girls on the cheerleading team?
She made the team, apparently, yeah.
That's good stuff.
And her dad was a kicker.
Did the 24th get kicked off already?
Not officially.
So there were 24.
Oh, there were 24.
There was a kickoff?
No. There's not a kickoff. There's 23 girls right now. there possibly could be 24.
What's
she's
the holdup?
Well, she's just not 100% sure, so she's kind of leaving it open. So as of right now, there are 23.
And check out,
are there any
check
alternate?
Out cheerleader chit chat for this kind of analysis.
I think Gary may have hit on something here.
No, it's nothing.
Sounds
it's
like an expulsion
there
23
to me. Sure.
Are there little fraternization? Are there any? Are there any alternates? Because there was talk that there'd be a couple of alternates
no,
for the squad.
No, but I think that's why she hasn't picked her 24th. If there's going to be 24.
I see.
Now, cheerleader chit-chat with Lori Baranski
and Eric Scalavino. But, Tom, I saw the...
I want to see if I can get Gary to strike my name off of all references of this show.
I can't believe there's a high school girl on there.
That you could have went on, Tom. You could have went on their calendar shoot.
Oh, God. I love that girl. I don't even know what she looks like.
She's blonde and she's in shape.
If she's blonde, 18, in high school on a cheerleading team, I love her.
And her dad was a kicker in college.
And if you ever talk to her,
that.
Lori, just
and
if she shows any interest in me, I will leave my wife
hey,
for her in a heartbeat.
Hey, Lisa. You look pretty hot today.
I believe Andre Tippett's daughter made it.
Oh, she was auditioning?
Well, yeah. That's not good.
Yes, I believe she did.
What do you mean that's not good?
What's her name? That's not
I
good.
I believe it's Asia, right?
Yes.
Asia is her name. She made the squad.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Good for her.
Yeah.
He's psyched. We haven't seen Tip in a couple of days.
I think he's at the NFL meetings.
Oh, that's right. He's Mr. Big Shot now. He works here, and he's... going to be in the HOL
favor.
Yep.
So, yes, the calendar will be coming out soon for them. And they look good.
What's her name, Lori?
Whose name?
The Foxborough one.
I don't know.
Caitlin Davis.
But I did hear that there was an 18-year-old.
How do you know?
Because there was like 5 news articles about her in the clips last week.
And Caitlin Davis made it, yes.
You didn't read the clips? Well, it's true. You were on suspension.
I'll effort that
so.
For you, Tom.
Plus, yeah. I don't go that far into the clips anyway.
No. Oh, I have to because I write the news blitz every day, so I have to.
And the Herald and the Herald to see if anything happened.
Right.
I was going to say maybe we can get her to come in and do a chit-chat next week, but I'd be afraid to bring her over here.
Don't do it.
I wouldn't bring her anywhere near the admin level.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7222.
Everybody knows the email address. Just read them.
With 7 Aww, minutes to go on in the show, if you want to call in.
This is usually when some of our best material comes out, these last 10 minutes of the show,
right.
Tom. You never know.
He's not doing anything Fred doesn't do.
You really should have much loftier standards, just so you know.
Brian in God knows where says, Eric, with all the on-air discussion regarding your art, I had to check out your website. While you certainly have some talent, maybe you're overshooting your target audience. If you can't sell your art in Rhode Island, then maybe you ought to try a smaller town with less competition. I believe you should take your show to a city that has been discussed there often, Albany. Take a van, load of your sketches and paintings, find yourself an accommodating Walmart parking lot, and hang them among a couple of velvet wall hangings of Elvis and Jesus. This will surely attract an audience willing to test the waters of an upcoming artist. You can thank me later. You may
I
even
don't
get
think
it.
Anyone in Albany has $7,000.
No, I don't think so either. You may even get a date out of it. I wouldn't doubt, I doubt
okay,
that, too.
Okay, now you're convincing me you're doing personal plugs here.
I'm reading it right from here.
I don't know.
Come over and look, then, if you're...
Yeah, but I think it's his friend sending him in.
Oh.
I don't know anyone from Albany. Just kidding, he says. I was pleasantly surprised with your skills. Okay, Gary, play the Napoleon Dynamite clip, he says.
You know what, though? I was at a bar once, and I was sitting next to some guy that knew Eric.
Your mom goes to college.
Why were you in a gay bar? Sorry.
That took like 5 seconds longer than it should have, Tom.
You cracked her up, though. It was worth it.
Gay bar.
Why,
was oh, it
why were you at the Ramrod?
Very witty. No, it was just a regular bar.
And he finally has a serious one. I've tried to get this question answered in the past, and you've ignored it, and probably for good reason. That's probably because Fred was hosting at the time. Is it possible the Pats would package Kasher and the number 7 pick to move up to number 5? Possible? Anything's possible, but I highly doubt anyone would want Kasher. They'd want the number
Kasher?
7 pick, but I don't know if they'd want Kasher to go along with it.
I'm at a loss with our trade proposals. I'm really, really, I'm really down on our trade proposals.
Well,
I mean, maybe we can give up Ray Ventrone and Kyle Eckel for LaDainian Tomlinson. I don't know.
Well, here's another one then.
What
maybe
are we good at? I mean,
maybe
the number 7
like
pick for Nick Kasher?
Maybe you'll like this one. Hey, guys, this is Mike in Pensacola, Florida. I heard you say on last week's show that there are rumblings the Eagles are definitely going to trade Lito Shepard. Could you see a scenario that New England swaps first-round picks with Philly, trades down in the first round, and gives the Eagles our second-round pick in exchange for Shepard?
Yes.
Sure.
That's a little bit...
I think that's a little more plausible.
I have a little bit more faith in something. At least we're actually giving something up to get something in that one. And I do, you know, I talked to a guy from Philly last week when I was doing the writer's mock draft, and he definitely said that the Eagles are hell-bent, for lack of a better word, on trading Lito Shepherd, so I wouldn't close the book on that one yet.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, it was funny, though. For Washington, we were talking about Darryl Green earlier.
Oh, God.
I talked to David Elfin. And I remember the guy
yes,
that Darryl Green? It was like the love-in.
He kept giving him shout-outs in the front row.
David Elfin. And, you know, boy, that one.
Was that the guy who...
It's a press conference I could have managed living without.
He's the one that
he was the beat writer. Right.
Yes.
Right. That's good stuff. Mike signs off with, also, Eric, what did you mean last week when you said that quarterback Kevin O'Connell really popped out at you? Because that could mean things that he doesn't want to get involved in. Well, thanks for the shot, Mike. Thanks, guys. Love the show, especially when Tom and Andy are on. And Andy?
That's the first time anyone's ever said when Andy is on.
I know. It's been a pleasant week.
It's definitely a first.
It's been a pleasant week here on PFW Progress.
Quiet around here.
But yeah. Unfortunately, in his defense, this has been the worst show I've ever been on.
Come on, Paul.
I take offense to that.
I think
it was the worst show before you got here, Lori. I wouldn't take any offense to it.
I think we miss Fred.
I think we do, too. Because I know it's not Andy.
Boy. You know?
What? Why did you have to take that
shot? Well,
then
step up your game. Take up your game, then. Let's go.
Step up my game.
Yeah.
With 2 minutes left.
You're the host.
Why don't you give out the email address?
Come on.
Why don't you tell fans they shouldn't take the South Park too seriously?
They shouldn't. Our friend.
She looks like a past cheerleader we had before, Diana Martuthi.
What's her name?
There's nothing wrong with that. Oh, yes, her. Yes, Paul, you remember her?
Nice.
No.
Remember her from the Super Bowl years?
I don't know any of their names except for
I'm being
Baranski.
Facetious.
No,
I'm
going to
plug
like
another cheerleader, too.
How do I read?
That's gonna
never
going to
get old.
Get
That's never going to get old.
Wait, Kyle knows somebody.
Yeah,
what lucky high school dude is banging her, you know?
Tom!
Oh, sure. You don't put Tom's mic off for that one, Gary.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, he didn't know it was
can
coming.
Can you imagine the high school guy that's dating her, cheerleader for the Patriots? That's a good life right there.
I'm guessing if she's on the Patriots cheerleaders now, it's not going to be a high school
that's
guy
true.
For much longer.
Yeah.
It'll be a player.
She's probably graduating in a couple months anyway.
It'll be Brady in about 3 weeks.
Another really good-looking cheerleader you should check out is Julia Williamson.
Is this the one you went to high school with?
I went to college with her.
Or college?
Actually, small college.
I like your boobs.
See, you remember what we were talking about on the way down here? She's about high school mine, girls so. And how they didn't look like that?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the example. I mean,
oh, my God. That's not right.
No.
18.
18 years old.
She could be lying.
So how well did you know this girl, Kyle?
Not that well, Gary, but, you know, she's a good friend of mine. I only graduated with a couple hundred people, and so I knew her pretty well. Julia Williamson. She's pretty.
Party at all?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
Not at all. Yes.
Recognize it? Would she recognize you if you went up to her and were like, hey, it's
that
me
kind of
from, you know.
Yeah, she called me when she got the job and said, hey, I'm going to be at the stadium now. I'm a cheerleader. And I said,
really?
Yeah,
Kyle, you need to work some magic here.
Now you think that you can get her to get
no,
that
because
girl?
He's been trying for 2 years.
No, I don't care about you. I'm saying get that girl and have a party and then invite me.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
I'll just sit there.
There's got to be something we can figure out here.
All right.
I think you need to step up on that one, Kyle. You went to college with her. You already know her. She's emailing you saying, "Hey, I made the team and I'm going to be at the stadium all the time." That's an open door for you, guy.
Yeah.
He'll
probably
Bella.
Shut right in my
Chief.
Face, just like usual. Let's get out of here.
You know what?
Why are you guys leaving?
Tom's disgusted.
Nothing? You got nothing?
No.
All right.
Oh, what do you got there? What do you got? You got something?
All I can tell you is, despite this absolute debacle that was this Thursday
I told Paul
show,
to tease next week's show, but like I can't believe people can't be fired up for them to return.
That's what I'm going to try to convince. You know, please don't hold this one against us. We're capable of much more than this. Even at our worst,
hey,
we're capable of.
This is what happens when all they do is sign Victor Hobson in a week. You know.
Make sure you listen to next Tuesday's show, however, because Andy and Fred will be here, and as Gary points out, Kyle will not.
Aww.
And you're not going to want to miss the word of the day.
That's true.
That's a good.
Who the celebrity intro is going to be?
Right, you will
we
not
never know
want
who it's going to be.
The word of the day.
And if you guys save a buffalo tender, I'll come down.
Well, we'll save it. It's we got to make sure Kyle's not on the show, but that's okay. Kyle, you did a great job coming down here. We can't wait to have you on next time. We're going to have you on soon. The
he
next
didn't
time,
do a great job. Don't blow smoke.
He did fine.
Nice.
Listen,
nice guy.
Listen.
I'm not.
Kyle,
I'm not
Kyle,
impressing.
You are welcome.
I'm here to impress.
Listen, so. Kyle, you are welcome back on the show anytime. Bill Belichick is on South Park again.
All right,
okay, we'll
you
see
it.
You guys on Tuesday.
How do I reach these?
eat!